Emerald River Steelhead Association. Both of those organizations can be found on the internet. Please, please, please conserve water this spring so we can see that river and all rivers in the California area come back. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll talk with you tomorrow. More about the water situation with Annette Chaplin and Chris Lindstrom.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. From one side of the nation to the other, people talk about how much more things cost.
It's a double whammy. People pay more to drive to the supermarket and then get hit with higher prices when they get there.
New York Democrat Charles Schumer at a hearing on Capitol Hill into prices for food and fuel.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle. It seems not long ago,
well, I could buy a week's worth of food for $40, and now it's more like $100. So, and it's the same stuff.
And for the price we pay, it's ridiculous.
Do you have to cut back on certain things?
Yes, we do.
I had to just adjust. You know, less is more nowadays.
Or at least less is what they have to live with now.
President Bush is proposing $770 million in new spending to feed the hungry in other countries.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. In explaining the president's request, administration officials make clear that rising food prices are having a much greater effect abroad than at home. Over the last 12 months, global food prices have soared 43%, but in the U.S., the increase is only 4.5%. Grain prices are much higher overseas than domestically.
Three different immigration rallies are expected to join into one big crowd of tens of thousands in Los Angeles.
These people are just coming to work to support their families and to contribute to the wealth of this country.
Similar demonstrations in Detroit and New York, all with the same basic message about immigrants, particularly those who are here illegally and want citizenship fast-tracked. Dock workers on the West Coast took May Day off. Longshoreman spokesman Craig Merrilees.
They were standing down on the job to stand up for America and get the troops back home and get an end to the war.
The Pacific Maritime Association says it wasn't about free speech. It was about the contract talks.
We are in the middle of labor negotiations on a new waterfront contract. The current six-year contract expires on July 1st. And we're extremely disappointed at the union's actions today,
which Steve Getzig says violated their contract. The so-called D.C. madam has killed herself, Deborah Jean Palfrey, in the shed behind her mother's trailer home in Florida.
Mom said that she had talked to her in the morning. They were both kind of tired, and the mother said, I'm going to go take a nap real quick, and that was pretty much the last she had talked to her.
That's Police Captain Jeffrey Young in Tarpon Springs, Florida. Palfrey was convicted just last month of running a prostitution ring with some members of Congress on its client list. The watermelon seed-spitting contest will continue in Partyville, Wisconsin. The town couldn't afford to run the festival anymore and had planned to cancel it, but nearly a dozen volunteers stepped up to save it. They say it's their local festival. People come back year after year just for a little taste of hometown. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 190 points today. The Nasdaq up almost 68. Oil prices, $112.50 a barrel. That's down nearly a dollar. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Oh, hit fin.
Here it is.
And look at that.
We got a door.
I like it with the windows in
there. Yeah. I'm going to go inside, see how my new knobs work.
Okay. Ah!
Absolutely fabulous.
It's time to make a grand entrance. Find the perfect doors and windows with our new project advisor at HomeDepot.com. And right now, save 20% on select special order doors and windows. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 7th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Thou shalt not discriminate against me over my DNA.
This is Howard Arenstein in Washington. Today's House vote on a bill against genetic discrimination was 414-1. The lone dissenter was Texas Republican Ron Paul. That sort of approach to government may be why his new book, The Revolution, A Manifesto, is topping Amazon's bestseller list. Barry Goldwater Jr. says in an endorsement, This book takes a wrecking ball to the political establishment. He claims his father, 1964 presidential candidate Barry Goldwater, would have loved it.
So what'll it be, pink or cream? It's the unusual question being asked of people in Ketchikan, Alaska, where the five-story federal building has always been painted pink. It's due a new coat. To the folks at the GSA, they're asking the people to choose, though. The federal rules call for bland cream, but in honor of tradition, they'll go with pink. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Dipstick.
You know what they say, if you want good advice, ask a dipstick.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather go to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer when I need an oil change or anything else.
Well, I guess you want a professional opinion, huh?
Well, the dealer knows my car. You know, I'd much rather talk to them than to a drumstick.
Dipstick.
Sorry.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in, keep going.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. If I weren't sitting here talking to you right now, I'd be in the office next door getting some psychotherapy. I'm a man burdened with too many opinions. The world goes around, and I have a lot to say. Thank you for indulging me and actually listening to my ravings. This is a two-way talk show. Our telephone lines are always open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You can always email me. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. We kick off the show in a moment with Faz Shakir. He's at the Progress Report over at the Center for American Progress. There's plenty to talk about. Later this hour, Joe Cirincione, who used to be at the Center for American Progress, right down the hall from Faz. He's now based in San Francisco at the Plowshares Fund. And we're going to talk to him about the risk of military conflict with Iran, Hillary Clinton's bellicose remarks recently, and some testimony that Cirincione gave before Congress just a day or two ago about missile defense. Are you ready to spend another $12 billion on Star Wars? I mean, we've already pumped out $120 to $150 billion. For what? Also on today's program, Scott Dick, in his usual position, joins us to talk about military and veterans matters. We're going to talk about Speaker Pelosi's plans to give the president more money than he wants for the war in Iraq. Oh, boy. That's a real setback. We'll also talk about the sorry conditions for returning vets at Fort Bragg, and Defense Secretary Gates has weighed in on that. We'll hear from a representative of the longshore workers, the dock workers who have shut down the West Coast ports today as a protest against the war in Iraq and the five-year anniversary of the mission-accomplished codpiece speech on the aircraft carrier off San Diego. And in our free speech zone today, if it all works out, we're going to talk with Adam Kokesh, a veteran of the war in Iraq who has been participating in the Winter Soldier hearings and wants to offer some testimony to you. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show today, and you're welcome to join us whenever the urge strikes you. We have sex in the news. And for sex and heartbreak and cheating, Robert Cray is my man.
I can hear the couple fighting right next door. Their angry words sound clear between the walls. Around midnight, I heard them shout, unfaithful woman.
for me.
And we'll dedicate this tune to Barbara Walters of ABC News and The View. Why on earth did she decide today to unburden her secret? Faz Shakir joins us from the Center for American Progress. He's their research director and co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. And Faz, just moments ago, I clicked onto the Huffington Post, and there it is. Barbara Walters unloaded on Oprah Winfrey today and revealed that she had an affair with Senator Edward Brooke of Massachusetts way back in the 70s. Why? Why do we need to know about this now? Faz, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Oh. I was stunned by your revelation. I didn't even know about this groundbreaking turn of events. So I was bemused and listening to your...
You were trying to figure out where the hell I was going with that.
Yeah,
I understand. Faz, by the way, Faz, I just want to thank you because you come on with me once a week, and we don't rehearse this, and you're always spot on. You know the facts and the stories that are breaking. And for me to actually scoop you, there's a moment of pride here.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, generally on the cultural issues, I'm always a few steps behind.
Yeah, I know that somebody got voted off American Idol last night, but I don't know who, and I don't care.
Yeah, again, I didn't even know it was on.
Well, Edward Brooke was, I believe, the first African-American senator, certainly the first Republican African-American senator elected to the U.S. Senate. I think he did two terms. And Barbara Walters confided with Oprah Winfrey and all of her viewers today that she had an affair with Senator Brooke. Let's see the details here on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Walters shares details. Let's see. He took office in 1967, and he did two terms, and her affair ended before he lost his bid for a third term in 1978. So is she ready to embrace the S word? Hi, I'm Barbara Walters, and I'm a slut.
Well, if that's the type of cozy relationship she has with all her sources, then I think it would be cause for great alarm since she's considered, you know, one of the greatest media voices out there.
Yeah.
Shockingly.
I wonder if she asked Senator Brooke, if you were a twee, what kind of twee would you be? Well, I'm glad I was able to share something new with you, Faz.
Yeah,
there's one other thing, and this is a little somber, but it deals with sex in Washington. The D.C. madam, who conducted her call girl business from Vallejo, California, was found dead today and apparently has committed suicide.
Yeah, sad turn of events. Apparently she had at one point suggested that she was... on the verge of doing such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to grapple with mental depression or whatever it might be, but got to feel bad for her, and you got to think to some degree it was the public pressure that did it to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course she was operating in a murky world, and she offered a very interesting defense. And she was convicted anyway. And perhaps the threat of going to jail and the, I guess she was ordered to pay some money, that the combination of the two was just too much for her to bear. But it's interesting because this may mean that the list of her customers, the clients of the D.C. madam, may never all be known. And there are probably some males in Washington who are kind of relieved. That they haven't been exposed so far, and hopefully with her passing, their secrets will remain safe.
Yeah.
So, Faz, your lead story at the Progress Report today is about this idea that originated with John McCain for a tax holiday on the federal portion of the gasoline tax, about 18.4 cents per gallon. And this is an issue that's taken on some life because Senator Clinton has embraced it, and she's talked about funding it, or at least offsetting the loss to the Highway Trust Fund by passing a windfall profits tax on the oil companies. Now, I'm not opposed to helping consumers. I'm not opposed to a windfall tax. But I don't think this makes much sense because in the time that we might enjoy an 18-cent reduction in a gallon of gas, the cost at the pump could easily go up 20 or 30 cents or maybe even a dollar. It's not within our control. It's hard for us to know who actually does control it. But isn't this just a sop and a kind of pandering to people who are feeling the squeeze of $60 to $100 fill-ups?
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. And more than that, it's a terrible idea for short-term relief. Even if you were interested in short-term relief, it doesn't accomplish that. All it does is provide a great windfall to oil companies and the refiners who are producing oil. Then, of course, a lot of that money is going to go overseas. We're going to spur gasoline demand, which will increase the gas, the price of the pump, as you said, and then all that money is going to be filtering overseas, and it will do very little to stimulate the U.S. economy, and all for just a few cents at the pump for the American consumer.
And, you know, I'm not an economist, but wouldn't it make more sense to stabilize the dollar? That's the real contributor, the controllable factor in our escalating cost of oil and, in turn, gasoline.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the dollar has lost about 45% of its value against the euro. And over the period of time, if you track the loss of the value of the dollar, you'll see that the gasoline price tracks very closely with it. There's no doubt that that's one of the primary determinants of why we are in the position we're in, the gas price. But there's a couple others. Speculation is one of them. You know, there's a lot of speculation going on about concern over what the future price will be, and that, of course, causes the price to go up. And then there's the geopolitical risk, the fact that we're in war in Iraq, whereas we're talking about the heart of a region that produces oil, and those factors combined are keeping the price up and will probably maintain a very high price going through the summer.
Now, Faz, have you been able to confirm, are we still buying oil to stockpile in the strategic oil reserves, even though the cost has gone sky high?
Yes, that's true. We are always doing that. It is up to the president to determine whether he will stop the inflows into the strategic petroleum oil reserve, or whether he'll even tap into it to provide a little bit of relief. And there is some discussion going on about that in Congress. I don't think it would do a whole heck of a lot, quite honestly. I mean, it's one of those types of things that you tap into to try to reassure consumers that, well, we've got a lot of supply here and we're going to try to address the supply issues. But ultimately, you know, if you do something like that, it could also easily be perceived as a drastic step that will only cause more concern.
Well, so, at minimum, I would suggest that we stop buying oil at a top price to stockpile and, you know, allow that to expand the supply in the marketplace, which might stabilize prices or even bring them down a nickel or two. And, you know, I don't know exactly at what point we should start pulling oil out of the strategic reserves. Maybe we're waiting for things to get even worse after an attack on Iran, for example. But it just strikes me as odd that we would, at the highest price we've ever seen for a barrel of oil, we continue to buy it and store it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. We've got a different plan that would try to address that for consumers. We're calling it the relief bait that would allow consumers to basically it provides about 80% of American consumers an immediate relief at the pump that you get a rebate for,
right.
Which tries to target people who are at lower-end consumers rather than if you give a gas tax holiday, all the high-end consumers who drive a lot of automobiles, they're going to get the bulk of the benefit there.
And on this score, Faz, my edict for the day is that presidential candidates should do no more photo ops at gas stations. Because Obama started it, he went there, and honestly, he just looked so out of place. And Hillary attempted one yesterday. She had a union guy in his friend's pickup truck take her to a gas station where she professed that she hadn't pumped in a hell of a long time because of the Secret Service, and you know, only knows about the price of gasoline from what people tell her. And then she fumbled with the coffee machine inside the snack shop at the gas station. And that kind of reminds people of when George H.W. Bush left the White House for the first time in years and discovered that people actually scan their groceries.
Yeah, what was that machine? What does this do? The barcode reader.
All right, we'll take a break and return with Faz. There's more to talk about, including John McCain has taken another position on earmarks. And we'll talk about the Rent-A-Generals on television. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Mark Hood for Judge is endorsed by the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association, the Peace Officers Research Association of the Central Coast, and the union representing court employees.
Mark Hood is the only candidate for judge who has 19 years' experience with major criminal prosecutions, plus significant civil experience with a leading firm. Tough on violent crime, smart on prevention. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, now airing Saturdays at 1 on Green 960 in San Francisco. We continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, where he is the research director. And Faz, on this program, we've been paying close attention to the issues related to the propaganda machinery established by the Pentagon. When they actually embedded these generals in the corporate media in this country before and during the invasion of Iraq in particular. And the New York Times a week ago Sunday did a great job of exposing this. It would have been more timely a few years ago, but hey, We'll give them credit where it's due. And to date, only the PBS NewsHour on television has bothered to report this story. And they interviewed my friend John Stauber, who is going to be on with us next week from the Center for Media and Democracy. And he did a great job of describing the real way that the program worked, that these people were recruited, they were given talking points, they were given special briefings, and then they went out and they multiplied Rumsfeld's message in the media. And there was an interesting exchange in the White House briefing room today between Dana Perino, and I'm here at Think Progress. We can play the clip in a second here, Faz, but this is an unknown reporter, and we want to be clear, it's not Jeff Gannon, right?
No, it isn't. In fact, it was Raw Story's reporter, Eric Brewer.
Oh, great. Well, we're fans of Raw Story.
Yeah.
So he's seated next to Helen Thomas, and despite that, he was called on. But that was after another reporter kind of chided Dana Perino for not calling on him, right?
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's listen to this exchange, and it's about the insertion of these generals into the media.
The New York Times has reported that over the last
six years,
the Pentagon conducted a secret operation designed to sell the war in Iraq and the war on terror to the American people. It recruited more than 75 ex-military officers, many with financial ties to the defense industry, provided them with talking points and an extraordinary degree of access not available to ordinary members of the press, including meetings with the Secretary of Defense. And it got them hired as supposedly independent military analysts by every U.S. television network. One of its participants described the program. One of its participants described the program as psyops on steroids, and others said that.
Is this your opinion?
I'm describing the program.
What's your question?
Others said that if they departed from the Pentagon's talking points, their access was cut off. And my question is, did the White House know about and approve of this operation?
Look, I didn't know. I think that you guys should take a step back and look at this operation. Look, DOD has made a decision. They've decided to stop this program. But I would say that one of the things that we try to do in the administration is get information out to a variety of people, so that everybody else can call them and ask their opinion about something. And I don't think that that should be against the law. And I think it's absolutely appropriate to provide information to people who are seeking it and are going to be providing their opinion.
Gosh, she's not answering the question in any way, shape, or form.
One note that I wanted to share on this.
Sure, go ahead.
Is that John Murtha, we spoke with him today. And we have a post on this going up later this evening, and we asked him about the Pentagon propaganda program. And what he told us is that all of us appreciate the sacrifice of the military, but he said, I've gotten to the point now where I distrust the military because they've been dishonored by these kinds of untruths. That's a direct quote from John Murtha. And so I think that this is rising to a level where big-time supporters of the military, like Congressman Murtha, are starting to feel like they just can't trust anything that comes out of the military or out of the Pentagon.
Well, I applaud the Raw Story reporter there for asking the question, because so far, nobody from the networks who actually accepted these generals has been willing to confront the issue at all. Faz, just a minute remaining. We've been following John McCain's various denunciations of earmarks, these special funding requests that get inserted often secretly into bills. And he now has his 14th position in 14 days. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. He can't figure out exactly where his position on earmarks is. Originally, he was opposed to all of them, and now he's had to backtrack. We've noted he would have eliminated aid to Israel. He would have eliminated aid to military housing. He said, oh, no, I would keep those things. And then, you know, when you try to pin him down on which earmarks he would cut, he can't tell you. And now he's just saying, no, I'm against the process of earmarking. So now he's not actually against any earmarks. It's just mainly a reform of the process.
Now, is this like weapons of mass destruction program activities?
That's right. I mean, shortly you'll be for earmark, but I can't wait for that to happen.
All right, Faz, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
Faz Shakir. Check into the Progress Report, progressreport.org, and they'll send it to you free in your email every day. We'll take a break and return. Talk with Joe Cirincione from the Plowshares Fund next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files.
sponsored in part by the National Pest Management Association. Don't let the bedbugs bite, and don't let the termites eat you out of house and home. And by the makers of naturally derived Emil BP, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. I'm Charles Osgood. If you're addicted to alcohol, you're called an alcoholic. But now, aholic has become a suffix that's used to describe addiction to anything. If you work too much, you're called a workaholic. Well, now, South Dakota has begun a month-long campaign to help people cut down on soft drink consumption.
We have, you know, a lot of different kinds of sweetened drinks that people drink more of at this time of year, and we would like to help them moderate that intake.
And just for fun, they're calling it the Soda Briety Challenge. About that, after this. Who do you depend on to help protect your family's health and property? Well, doctors, of course, and firefighters and police officers. But how about pest professionals? They're your best defense against household pests like bedbugs and mice and termites. Pests like these contribute to asthma, serious illness, and property damage. To learn all about household pest threats and to locate a qualified pest professional near you to help protect your family, visit pestworld.org. You know, over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension. But there's a wonderful new product called Emil BP that makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Emil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Emil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in healthy range by eating right, by exercising, and by taking Emil BP. Available at CVS and Walgreens, or visit EmilBP.com to find other retailers near you. Supervising the Soda Briety Challenge in South Dakota is the state nutritionist, Kristen Beskeborn. She says South Dakotans love names like Soda Briety.
There are some darling names out there from people. Sometimes they're work sites, sometimes they're families. There's the Chug-a-Lugs. We've got several renditions of Water Buffalo, the Drinkin' Librarians, Water Regulators, all sorts of different fun names that people come up with for these challenges.
It's fun to regulate your water because dehydration is no fun at all.
People are going to record their water intake. We don't want them to overdo. We want them to have moderation, but have a little fun and to try to encourage both themselves and their workmates or others that they associate with to try to decrease their sugar-sweetened beverages.
But is it really fun, though?
It's always fun for people, but it's also serious in that people get a chance to practice a health behavior change. And we've found that people, about 75% of the people who participate, improve that health behavior during the challenge, and about 50% of them still have maintained that change a month later.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. This half hour, we're going to talk about the placebo called missile defense.
Wake up, everybody. You're almost sleeping in bed.
And some other issues of war and peace.
Thinking, thinking.
Joe Cirincione returns to our program right now. He was formerly a fellow at the Center for American Progress, before that at the Carnegie Endowment for Peace, and he is now president of the Plowshares Fund based here in San Francisco. You can visit their website, if you spell Plowshares right, with the O-U-G-H, plowshares.org. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C. The Nationals are on a winning streak. It's a great time to be in the nation's capital.
All right, you get your choice of trivial questions. A, do you want to tell us about your pastor, or would you like to deny that you ever slept with Barbara Walters?
There are a lot of strange stories floating out there. I am sick of pastor stories.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody talking about Obama's preacher or my church or... I'd much rather talk about a few more serious issues, like why is the United States still spending $12 billion a year on missile defense systems that don't work,
right,
and to deploy them against a threat that doesn't yet exist?
I'm much more interested in that as well. And you testified before a committee of the Congress, and I haven't seen any news coverage of it because we've been so busy hearing about somebody's pastor.
No, you know, that it really is a sad commentary, and many people have pointed this out, on the state of America's media today. And, you know, we have hundreds of reporters chasing after these fairly trivial stories, and very few reporters looking at the money, following the money.
Yeah.
Where is it going? Why are we spending this? Do we need all these weapons programs? Are these the right choices? Who's doing oversight over this? Checking some of the statements that our senior officials are making. At this hearing yesterday, I was asked to follow on to General Obering, who's the head of the Missile Defense Agency, and I and one of my fellow panelists, Phil Coyle from the Center for Defense Information, were stunned at the number of misleading comments this director made. But as you say, none of these are being reported, and none of these are being taken seriously. It's really a failure of American journalism.
And Joe, you know, it's really hard to know when you talk about missile defense, the Reagan-era Star Wars program that has lived on to cost us up to $150 billion.
Yeah.
It's ineffective, it's a joke, and it's based on a lot of fiction. And so when the director goes to Capitol Hill, I hope this was sworn testimony, but you have to expect a fair amount of fiction. And we have now sold some of our allies in NATO, in Europe, on a phony missile defense system to protect them from what?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that last part, because people may have seen the news last month that the NATO alliance have endorsed the Bush plans, President Bush's plans, to build two new military bases, one in Poland, one in the Czech Republic, where they would base interceptors and an advanced radar that are designed to counter any future Iranian missile. Iran doesn't have a missile that can reach Europe, let alone the United States. But should they ever get one, and the earliest, even the general admitted this yesterday, the earliest that could be would be 2015, we would build this base. Now, why do the Europeans go and bless that? I've talked to a lot of European officials on this, including people from the Czech Republic and Poland, and this is much more about politics than it is about protection. They don't believe that Iran threatens them or that there's a missile that someday soon will come shrieking out of Tehran to descend on their countries. This is more about the politics of defense alliances. They want to prove their reliability to America. They want to keep the U.S. European defense alliance alive and well, and they thought this was sort of a bone they could give the Bush administration, particularly because there was a lot of opposition to other proposals that President Bush was pushing.
Now, Joe, with Poland, it fits a pattern. They sent a small contingent of troops to Iraq to be part of our phony coalition. They supplied us with a secret base in northern Poland where we have sent detainees and others who were rendered subject to this rendition program. So The Warsaw government has been collaborating with the Bush administration, you know, pretty carefully over the last 6 years, 7 years. But I don't understand the Czech Republic. I don't see what's in it for them, and I don't see what threat they perceive from Iran or any other nation, because I can't imagine that you would require a missile attack if you wanted to somehow invade and occupy the Czech Republic.
Exactly right.
I mean, I've been there. I love the Czech people, and I have a real affection for them, but they are not a military power. It is not a country that has natural resources or other wealth that is envied by other nations. So what threat is posed to the Czech Republic?
Well, they don't see the threat. And I tell you, I've sat down in Washington offices with the leaders of the two leading political parties in the Czech Parliament, and they were wrestling with this, trying to figure out how they should handle this, because they don't see the threat. And in fact, the public in the Czech Republic are opposed to this. They fear that if we build this base, which by the way is on the site of a former Soviet base, so it brings up some issues of occupying powers there, but they fear that if they build this base, that the base itself would become the target in any war, which of course is true. If you're going to launch an offensive attack, the first thing you do is to press the enemy's defenses. So even before you lost your offense, you would be taking action to knock out the defensive system. So there's opposition by the citizens around these towns, and they voted overwhelmingly in referenda to oppose this. But still, the reason why the governments themselves are inclined to go along with this is basically the issue of the U.S. alliance, because they want the U.S. committed to the defense of their country. They, after all, are not far away from Russia, and there's a very bleak and disturbing history of Russian domination of these countries, and they are more worried about Russian plans than they are American plans. And the second reason is that there's money in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying for any of this. In fact, the Poles are very cleverly extorting some funds for us. They're only agreeing to this after the U.S. has agreed that we will contribute funds to the modernization of the Polish air defense system. So, in other words, give them some money for their military budget. Even so, this is proving to be very difficult. The Czech officials just announced yesterday that they're putting off the decision. They had hoped to do it by the end of April. They're now saying, well, it looks like more like June.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually hoping to kick the can down the road and wait for the next administration and hope that the next administration will reverse this.
By the way, I do have some
breaking news. Today, the Senate Armed Services Committee did their markup of the Defense Authorization Bill, and they've taken a good step. They have fenced the funds for the construction of these European sites. So while not denying them to the president, they have frozen them so that none of those will be spent this year. The Senate, and I think the rest of the Congress is likely to go along with this,
mm-hmm.
have decided that they, too, want to punt on this issue and delay any kind of decision, any kind of construction, until the next president takes office.
Joe Cirincione with us. He's the new president of the Plowshares Fund, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Joe, as a young man, my father took me. He was a veteran of World War II and a history buff about that conflict, and he took me and my brothers to visit the Maginot Line. This was the installation built after World War I by the French that was to protect them from the next invasion from the evil Germans. And, of course, it was ineffective because they didn't factor in air power. And the Germans flew over it, they marched around it, and the Maginot Line was completely ineffective. I bring it up because my concern is, and I don't understand all of the technology, but if we build these arrays in the Czech Republic and in Poland, are they 360 degrees? Or are they being built, you know, for a specific imagined threat, that is, missiles being launched by Iran? And would they be ineffective if, oh, say, Italy got a bug up its butt and decided to, try to launch missiles against either Poland or the Czech Republic?
Well, you know, that is an excellent point. And it came up in the testimony yesterday. And I got to hand it to Congressman Tierney of Massachusetts, who's the chairman of this subcommittee on the Government Oversight and Reform Committee. In fact, you can go to the website of the Government Reform and Oversight Committee and go to the National Security Subcommittee and watch this testimony. They put it all up on the web, something new that the committees are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very concerned about this. And the members, at least the Democratic members, were really livid at the expense of this program and the kind of runaround they thought General Obering was giving them. And one of the things they asked was, well, couldn't we just undershoot the system, which is true. An enemy could fly a cruise missile or a short-range missile under the radar coverage of these systems. In other words, we could spend the billions of dollars required for this thing,
mm-hmm.
and the enemy would just decide, like the Maginot Line, you go where the defenses are not, and you undershoot this. And one of the ways they could do that is by shooting a short-range missile off a boat. Off of the American coastline,
mm-hmm.
for example. We had this kind of technology back in the 50s. We built something called the Matador cruise missile that we shot off a submarine. It was a beautiful looking, really cool looking missile, actually. It was on the submarine. The submarine would go underwater surface, and from the surface of the submarine, the missile would then launch, go a few hundred miles to its target.
Mm-hmm.
If we could do that in the 50s, many of the countries we're worried about could do that now. Or just take a Scud, put it in the tanker, put it in the hold of a tanker, bring it off the coast of Washington, for example, and fire it from there. So there's lots of ways to get around this system. It is truly the high-tech Maginot Line.
And Joe, there's another, trade-off here, if you will, that occurs to me. And this is gets a little dark, because I don't want to see us engage in any kind of military assault on Iran. But I think it is the clear intention of Bush and Cheney to do that before they leave office. And again, I hope I'm wrong about that. But would it make sense to put a clause into this funding for missile defense that, by the way, if we go in and blow up all of the facilities in Iran, we won't have to spend this money on a missile defense system in Europe?
That might make sense. I don't think there's any member who's offering such an amendment this year.
I'll bet.
So I'm afraid that's not in the cards. In fact, there were efforts to try to, you know, explicitly require any military action against Iran to get the prior approval of Congress, and some of the members who were pushing that couldn't get their colleagues to go along. There's still, even though the Democrats are in charge, there's a real sort of hesitation, particularly in election year, for some of these members of Congress to take a stand against the president.
And I was a little lighthearted there, but let's shift now to the discussion of Iran. And what is your current reading? We have dispatched a second carrier group to the Gulf.
Yeah.
We have almost daily news conferences from Baghdad or elsewhere with this constant drumbeat of Iranian weapons and training coming in and causing mayhem for our occupation in Iraq. And it really seems Scott Ritter's been on our program, and he told us about the non-nuclear bunker-busting bomb that was developed and a B-2 that was refitted to carry it, and hangars in, the Emirates that were expanded to accommodate
yeah.
all this, and the due date on all that was April of 2008. So the preparations appear to be in place, and it appears we're looking for a provocation.
I'm afraid that might be right. You know, we go through these sort of anti-Iranian surges, it seems, about every 6 months, and this has been true pretty much since the Iraq War. Sometimes that, you know, there have been signs that have convinced many of us, I know you've talked about this in the past, that it was coming, it was imminent. And partially because of the alarms being sounded, the effort was beaten back, because basically the Joint Chiefs, the military, don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you think that this is all a big military-industrial complex. No. The drive to do this is being pushed by a handful of ideologues in the administration, led by Vice President Cheney, including Elliot Abrams in the National Security Council, probably Elliot Cohen, who's one of the president's advisors as well. But the military itself thinks it has its hands full in Iraq, and the last thing we need is to expand the war. There are some who do seem to favor it, and unfortunately, I think removing Admiral Fallon, who was the head of the Central Command, who was dead set against this, and is quoted as saying, "Not on my watch." He was just removed last month, and the man who's going to replace him is General Petraeus,
right,
now in command of Iraqi forces, who's in his testimony last month had some very ominous things to say about Iran, agreeing with Senator Joe Lieberman that Iran was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans, a wild charge that's based on Iran aiding the Shia groups in Iraq, which they do.
Yeah, Joe,
Iran also backs the government of Iraq, the Maliki government. It's one of its chief allies.
Yeah, I need to take a break, Joe. We'll pick up there on this issue as we continue.
Sure.
And I want to talk about the comments of Senator Clinton and examine the position of Senator Obama regarding Iran. That's next. Joe Cirincione is my guest. He's the new president of the Plowshares Fund, on the web at plowshares.org. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
No, Mr. Bush, we're neither with you, nor are we with the terrorists. Join us Saturday night for an evaluation of all of the known facts of the events from 9/11 on the Quantum Leap program, 9 p.m. Saturday night.
Spring has sprung at All Class Transportation, and the All Class Transportation team is offering awesome spring savings to KRXA listeners for all of April. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338 to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. For example, a party of eight can rent an All Class Transportation luxury limo for the bargain basement price of only $55 an hour. That's right, folks. I said only $55 per hour with a one-hour minimum. All Class Transportation also has luxury SUVs and sedans for even less, and again, with a minimum time of just 1 hour. If you are looking for an airport drop-off or pickup in Monterey or San Jose at a great price, look no further than All Class Transportation. For additional information, call the All Class Transportation team at 831-582-9338 or email them at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included. And vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation, TCP 22978-A at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Newsflash just in. Now through April 30th, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, All Class Transportation is only $50 per hour with a one-hour minimum for an eight-passenger luxury limo. Wow, unbelievable. Call now and reserve your limo before it's too late. All Class Transportation, 582-9338.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by PolyPoint Press, and John Gorenfeld's new book about Reverend Moon and that Washington Times propaganda machine. The book is Bad Moon Rising. Visit thekingofamerica.com and check out the video. You'll remember it. We're talking with Joe Cirincione. He's president of the Plowshares Fund. He's also the author of Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons, that was published last year. And I know people hate this song, but...
Bomb, 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 bomberan. Bomb, 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 bomb. Bomberan.
I'll be happy to retire this song someday when there is no longer a threat that the U.S. will bomb Iran. Joe Cirincione, we've heard some remarks that I found very frightening and irresponsible from Senator Hillary Clinton in the campaign appearances and some interviews recently. And I don't think this has gotten properly aired out because, again, we've been distracted by Obama's pastor. But I'm very concerned about the remarks she made extending the so-called nuclear umbrella beyond Israel, but not definite about who all would be included. And then she talked about a hypothetical nuclear attack by Iran and said that it would be met with a nuclear attack from the United States. And then she invoked the Cold War. And she didn't explicitly talk about mutual assured destruction, but she talked about the deterrent effect of, the nuclear capabilities of the U.S. and the Soviet Union. And I find this frightening, and I don't understand why this has not been more carefully examined.
Yeah, well, this is another casualty of our trivial media coverage of the presidential elections and our national security debate overall. It's disturbing for several reasons. First of all, it's completely unnecessary. Israel does not need and is not asking for our nuclear defense of their country. They have their own stockpile of nuclear weapons, estimated to be somewhere between 100 and 200. I personally think it's on the lower end of that. And Iran knows fully well that if they were to dare to attack Iran or be seen as aiding an attack on Israel, rather, that Israel would respond quickly and in a devastating manner. So it was completely gratuitous comment on the senator's part. Second, it revives this Cold War doctrine of deterrence that would require the United States to immolate millions of innocent men, women, and children for an act that their government has taken, an act that they themselves might have no role in or control over. Mm-hmm. I mean, would we really do that? And third, it's a sweeping extension of existing American defense commitments. We do not have a mutual defense pact with Israel. We do not have a pledge to defend the Arab states from an attack by other countries, other than our obligations under the United Nations Charter to defend a country that is attacked. But the senator was putting in place a new sweeping version of what our defense policy would be in the Middle East, and it passed with barely a journalist noting this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stunning to me, Joe. I can't believe I appear to be the only guy who talks about this every day.
Well, I did hear Tim Russert bring it up in a comment, not on his show, not on Meet the Press, but in one of the discussions on the MSNBC channel. But I don't think I saw any serious discussion on the op-ed pages, or certainly not in the evening news.
And where is Obama on this? Because I haven't heard him comment, and I don't have a clear view of what his position is.
Well, he did comment on this, and he emphasized that his policy would be to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon in the first place, and his preferred means of doing that is vigorous diplomacy. Mm-hmm. And this apart, of course, was a political strategy on Hillary Clinton's part to draw a distinction between the two, because Obama has said that he's willing to negotiate with Iran to meet with them without preconditions in order to bring about an end to their program, and Senator Clinton, at least at first, opposed that idea and then seemed to argue somewhat in favor, and now she was trying to have it both ways. Yes, of course, she's willing to negotiate, but this was part, I think, of her effort to prove her toughness, to distinguish her from the senator and to paint the senator as being somewhat weak.
Joe Cirincione, a minute remaining. Last September, Israel launched an aerial assault on a facility in Syria. There was dead silence about it for a long time, and then last week, curiously, the Bush administration issued some photographs and what they claim is evidence that this was a nuclear site and that North Korea was responsible for extending their brand into Syria. Do you believe any of this?
Well, I was very skeptical of these charges at first, and looked at the history of Syria and thought that they don't have the technological or financial or engineering ability to put together a serious nuclear weapons program. But I have to say the photographic evidence has been pretty persuasive, and I'm now inclined to believe that there was actually a reactor being built in Syria, and most likely with North Korean help.
No uranium, why? Though. There's no radiation evidence.
No fuel and no evidence that it was actually part, and the intelligence agencies say there's no evidence it was actually part of a weapons program yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was still years away from a weapons capability, therefore no need for Israel to strike. They could have turned it over to the IAEA and brought international inspectors in to shut down the program.
Yeah, we'll watch this one carefully. Joe Cirincione, thanks for your comments today.
My pleasure, anytime.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Ling. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A tug of war between food and fuel.
Congress takes a look at why food prices are so high. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
Immigrants take to the streets.
What people want is just an opportunity to contribute to this great nation, right?
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's second only to paint at the pump. The supermarket checkout is taking more and more of our money.
It's the basics, bread, milk, eggs, pasta, beef, and chicken, that have been rising at rates that have given shoppers sticker shock. Richard Reinwald runs a bakery in New York and has to pass along the high price of flour and oil.
A one-pound loaf of rye that sold for $2.65 in April 2007 today costs $3.45.
Joseph Glauber of the Agriculture Department says there are lots of contributing factors.
The foreign exchange value of the dollar, global weather patterns, rising input costs for energy and labor.
And another possible cause is something Congress itself did. Subsidies for ethanol have led to almost a third of the corn crop going to fuel instead of food, and led some farmers to grow less wheat to cash in on the corn. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle. It seems not long ago,
I could buy a week's worth of food for $40, and now it's more like $100. So, and it's the same stuff.
And for the price we pay, it's ridiculous.
Do you have to cut back on certain things?
Yes, we do.
I had to just adjust. You know, less is more nowadays.
Or at least less is what they have to live with now. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Seattle.
The Commerce Department says consumer spending rose 0.4% in March, but not because we bought more. We were just keeping up with rising prices. For less fortunate countries where hunger could lead to violence, President Bush proposes $770 million in U.S. food aid.
I ask Congress to approve this measure as soon as possible. It's a common sense way to help deal with food emergencies around the world.
Now this.
The embarrassing part about heartburn is when I'm on a date. I have to get rice or broth. And the guy's like, why don't you order real food?
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why new maximum strength Zantac 150 Cool Mint tablets are serious. It's the same Zantac strength, now with a refreshing hint of cool mint that goes down easy with water. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
It's time to put your tax rebate to work. Think about this. You can turn a short-term rebate into some long-term savings by making your home more energy efficient. With Energy Star qualified appliances from the Home Depot, you could save nearly $80 a year in energy costs. That's like getting a tax rebate every year. We offer thousands of Eco Options products that make it easy to save money, energy, and water throughout your house. So when you get your tax rebate, put it to work at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Immigrants and activists took to the streets in cities around the country today using this May Day to renew pressure for a path to citizenship. Ignacio Meneses organized a march in Detroit.
These people are just coming to work to support their families and to contribute to the wealth of this country. They are hardworking people, and I think they respect, they need, they deserve the respect.
More from CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes in Los Angeles.
This year, the marchers say they know America is very concerned about the economy. They know immigration is not really a hot-button issue like it was a couple of years ago, but they really want to come out and still have their voices be heard, let politicians know that immigration reform, that a route to citizenship is still very important.
Carnage in Iraq today. There was bitter grieving after an airstrike in Sadr City. The U.S. military says 18 militants were killed, but the Iraqi government says 10 people died, including at least two women and a child. At least 35 people died. Dozens were wounded when a pair of suicide bombers attacked a wedding procession northeast of Baghdad. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports two American military personnel died today when their heavily armed MRAP vehicle failed to protect them.
This is the first time a roadside bomb has been positioned in the right way or been powerful enough to actually penetrate the cab of one of these MRAPs and to kill the soldiers inside. Soldiers have been killed riding in MRAPs before, but that is because in previous times the vehicle would roll over, for instance, either accidentally or after being hit by a roadside bomb.
The woman known as the D.C. Madam, Deborah Jean Palfrey, vowed she'd never go to prison. Today she was found dead, a suicide. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Oh, Kingpin.
Here it is.
And look at that.
We got a door.
I like it with the windows in
there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go inside, see how my new knobs work.
Okay.
Absolutely fabulous.
It's time to make a grand entrance. Find the perfect doors and windows with our new project advisor at HomeDepot.com. And right now, save 20% on select special order doors and windows. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 7th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, it's Mission Accomplished Day. America and its allies in Iraq have prevailed. Whoops. This time, we set aside an hour to talk with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. He served in the Marine Corps and then jumped over to the Army, where he retired at the rank of major a few years back. And Scott Dick is now hosting a talk show on KRXA 540, our flagship radio station in Monterey, California, where he follows us every weekday evening at 6 o'clock. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
It's a beautiful day, and that just makes me... Fine.
No good. good. I wanted to let people know that next hour we're going to kick off the Free Speech Zone with Adam Kokesh. He served in Iraq in the Marines and has returned to object to the war, and he is a part of the Winter Soldier movement. And, Scott, I understand you had a chance to talk with him on your show yesterday.
Yeah, it was great. He came into the studio, and we did an hour. We riffed off the Marines and just talked about our different experiences briefly, and then went into his experience, because he's a gung-ho Marine, mm-hmm. and he still is. It's just it's the government and what they've done to this country and to the country of Iraq that has him beside himself.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And so let's focus first here on this dubious anniversary. It was 5 years ago today that they staged that photo op on the carrier Abraham Lincoln. And I remember watching it. It was just surreal and almost sickening, because we know that the aircraft carrier was bringing troops back from the war zone. And they were eager to get home and reconnect with their loved ones. But they were diverted off the coast of San Diego right at about sunset so that the perfect photo op could be created. And President Bush pretended to fly in on an aircraft. He was, I believe, in the co-pilot seat. But he climbed out with a flight suit, a codpiece, a helmet, and then did a quick change and gave a speech to the assembled sailors with that troublesome banner, Mission Accomplished, fluttering in the background. What was your reaction at the time, Scott?
Well, I thought he had an incredibly small penis. and the reason I say that is because he didn't need, I mean, you know, somebody who was a real man wouldn't need an aircraft carrier and a jet and anything. He would have flown in on his helicopter. I mean, that really is the depth of George Bush. That says it all.
All right, Scott, I got to stop you right here. Last night, I spent an hour and a half with 200 other people listening to Robin Williams' latest material, and I laughed really hard. And my cheeks are still a little sore from that, but you just made me laugh so hard I cried.
Sorry, Peter.
So I want you to open for Robin Williams when he takes this show to Las Vegas. He was doing warm-ups last night. That's why I got to see him.
Anytime.
Okay, I distracted you. So,
no, it's true. In my mind, this guy is one of those who has no manhood to project of his own. He has no charisma. He is a function of Karl Rove and Rovian marketing. He is a complete fabrication of the worst kind, because he doesn't even have his own thoughts. We see him reflecting Cheney's talking points, Rove's talking points, and the haves and the have-mores. And so this was just one of those, I want to be a wartime president. I'm going to be a wartime president. I want to be a wartime president. Let's land an aircraft carrier, because he never did in his life. He never would have been able to qualify as a pilot to do it. And so that was the whole thing. Then they got this banner. Now, I'm not sure who paid for it, but those big banners are expensive.
It was paid for by the Republican National Committee.
Really?
Yep.
So,
and they tried to pawn it off. Oh, some eager sailors put that up. And you know, there are a lot of facilities on an aircraft carrier. They are the size of a city. But do they have banner creation shops on most aircraft carriers, Scott?
No, and looking at the banner, that was professionally done. That wasn't a hand. I mean, there's some pretty good artists in uniform, but that would have taken hours and hours and hours and hours.
It wasn't an old stencil job.
Exactly, and you know that's the sum total of most military facilities. Or you get those stencils, and that's all you get, and some spray paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now they're trying to rewrite a history. They won't admit that this is a total failure. So now they're trying to rewrite history, and they're saying that, oh, what that mission accomplished was, that was not about Iraq. That was about the aircraft carrier's job. That was accomplished.
Well, and here's Dana Perino from the White House today. Unfortunately, the video clip it says here is no longer available, but the text quote at Think Progress reads, President Bush is well aware that the banner should have been much more specific, and said, mission accomplished for these sailors who were on this ship on their mission. And we certainly paid a price for not being more specific on that banner.
Now, yeah, and I think if you refresh that site, you'll get the video back.
Yeah, but, all right, let me try.
hit refresh here and see if they'll permit it. At any rate, this is a bizarre explanation. Of course, Dana Perino wasn't there at the White House at the time, so she's just spinning out of whole cloth.
Right. I mean, she's just, you know, she's thinking on her feet and trying to cover for her boss, and that's why she got the job. And, you know, he is the most unpopular president in history. And so this whole, you know, the media is talking about this banner haunting the president. No, it's not really the banner. It's the stupidity of the banner, yes, but it's Iraq and the stupidity of Iraq that's haunting the entire American people, not just President Bush.
Well, sure. And it just shows the incredible arrogance that they felt at the time and have not really come down from, that, hey, we toppled this guy, it was a cakewalk, and we're going to march right out of there in the next 6 months because our buddy Chalabi is ready to take over, and gosh, this is just going to be a dream scenario.
And, you know, John McCain said in 2003 that we have accomplished our mission. He was totally supporting the president, and if maybe, you know, he had some little quibble with Banner because he knew that combat operations weren't completely over. It was, remember, Peter, it was a mop-up. They were in their last throes.
Sure.
You know, and that's a pretty long, drawn-out mop-up. And the last throws, that's also, I'd hate to see them in their full throes.
I can't get the video to play, Scott, so
okay.
We won't be able to hear Dana Perino's remark here. But you just touched on John McCain, and that's an important point. He is now saying that at the time he didn't think it was right, the mission accomplished declaration and the banner. But, you know, he didn't speak up at the time, so we have no way of reading his mind historically and saying, oh, well, of course, Senator, that's what you meant.
Well, on ABC this week in December 14th, 03, he said their morale could not be higher. This is a mission accomplished. They know how much influence Saddam Hussein had on the Iraqi people, how much more difficult it made to get their cooperation, blah, blah, blah. So this is a mission accomplished. So, you know, they can quibble all they want to, but they haven't so far been men enough to step up and say, you know what, that was stupid, almost as stupid as Bush's bring him on comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's oblivious to it, but we all, I use that phrase almost on a regular basis, bring it on, bring him on, in you know, mockery of Bush, and it's very clear that those declarations that they made and that many of the Republican team members, most notably McCain, who is more for the war than anybody you can find in this country right now, that they really need to measure their remarks, and occasionally they ought to just go ahead and retract the ones that don't fit, that don't square.
Well, it requires real men to admit mistakes, and so far we haven't heard that from anybody in the Bush administration until after they leave. So apparently they're real men when they get hired. They turn into complete, I don't know the right word for it, Peter, spineless jellyfish bootlickers. And then when they leave the Bush administration, suddenly they grow a spine. It's an amazing feat of anatomy and physiology.
Here's a quote from McCain in 2005, December of 2005. I think the situation on the ground is going to improve. I do think that progress is being made in a lot of Iraq. Overall, I think a year from now, we will have made a fair amount of progress if we stay the course. If I thought we weren't making progress, I'd be despondent.
This reminds me of one of those military analysts, those independent, you know, we know now is the arm of the propaganda, the Department of Defense, the War mm-hmm. Department, I started calling them again.
You should.
The War Department's propaganda arm, General William Nash. And one of his brilliant quotes on ABC, and they asked him about the insurgency, he said, well, it could either get better or it could get worse. That's what I said, too. I said, I could have done that. You don't have to be a general to say it's going to be either better or it's going to get worse.
Well, it's like that famous quote from Rumsfeld about where the WMD are. You know, north, west, south, and east.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll find them. Really.
And I think that we should, the clip that we should play along with McCain's 100 years remark. And, you know, I hate that word because it's been so overused by the blunders. But people are I'm really listening closely now to the Republican National Committee trying to get the ad pulled, though, because they said it's deceptive, the one that quotes the McCain saying troops in Iraq for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's the matter with that. If they can quote Jeremiah Wright hundreds of times in every commercial and soundbite that they, well, I don't understand what the problem is with this.
John McCain's a white guy.
That's the number one probably reason. And he doesn't wear a flag pin either.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. He's available if you'd like to call in with a comment or a question. For the remainder of this hour, it's me and Scott Dick. A little bit later on, we're going to talk with a representative of the longshoremen who are striking today. They have called off work and shut down the ports on the West Coast in honor of the fifth-year anniversary of Mission Accomplished. It's their way of protesting the continuing occupation of Iraq. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge. Mark Hood has devoted his life to protecting communities from crime. With 19 years as a criminal prosecutor and significant civil experience, Mark Hood has handled thousands of cases, including murder, crime by gang members, kidnapping, and fraud. Praised by judges, fellow prosecutors, and defense attorneys alike, and endorsed by law enforcement. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
I'm Lisa Lee with a look at KRXA traffic. Earlier crash cleared Prunedale Passante Road at 101. It was an injury crash involving four vehicles. Traffic on Passante is starting to move. Be careful north of Prunedale. Southbound 101 past Dumbarton Road, a tree branch came down on the roadway, a big one. It is partially blocking the right lane, causing folks to slam on their brakes there. Santa Cruz northbound 1 looks a whole lot better. Just brief delays now. Heading for the Fish Hook, northbound on 17, you're looking good through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems reported on 68 or 152. Do you know what happens to cars that are wrecked here in Salinas? Well, about half of the cars that are salvaged get fixed up and resold. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. It's going to be sunny today. Very nice. Currently 51 degrees in Santa Cruz, Salinas 46, Monterey 51. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking military and vet issues with Scott Dick. Lines are open if you'd like to join us and comment or ask a question. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we'd like to dedicate this moment on the Peter B. Collins Show to Sergeant First Class David McDowell, age 30, from Ramona, California. He died this past Tuesday in Afghanistan of wounds suffered when enemy forces attacked using small arms fires. The San Diego Tribune reports he had been deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq 7 times and was a recipient of 2 Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart. Scott, this is sad and tragic to imagine that he survived 6 tours and, like a cat with 7 lives, didn't make it through the 7th. But should any human being be subjected to 7 tours of duty in a 6-year period?
No, even if they volunteer, and I did a little reading, and he was totally gung-ho. He wanted to follow in his father's footsteps as an Army Ranger since he was a little kid, and he had done that. And several of those tours were short, 3, 4, 5 month stints. But still, there needs to be an adult in position someplace that says, no, you're not going back again so soon.
Mm-hmm.
You would do that with anybody, unless you're just trying to fit, fill a billet, an empty slot. Oh, I need an E8, so let's pull Sergeant McDowell in and send him off. And, Sergeant McDowell, you want to go? And, of course, he says, yeah, because he's not going to say no, because that's, again, cowardly.
Well, and with that as a backdrop, we have the remarkable scene last weekend where the leader of Afghanistan, our handpicked guy, Hamid Karzai, was reviewing troops on a parade ground when there was an attempted attack and an apparent assassination attempt on Karzai himself. And the pictures really speak vividly, Scott. Those troops cut and run. And the Taliban successfully broke up this event and very very nearly killed Hamid Karzai.
Well, let's not forget how the president of Egypt, the guy after Nasser, I forgot what his name was.
Well, we had Sadat.
Sadat. Mm-hmm. I was too close to Saddam, so I didn't want to say that. President Sadat was killed by his own troops during a pass in review.
Yep, that's right.
And they were in a truck, and they were passing in review, and they got out of the truck, and they killed as many people as they could fire on before they were killed by the president's bodyguards. It was a little bit too late. They were on the reviewing stand. It wasn't just Sadat that was killed. It was a couple other people, too.
You're right.
So those troops, I know that when President Clinton came to our headquarters in Bosnia, we had to check our weapons in a truck. There were no weapons of ours in the headquarters.
Really?
Yes. I was insulted, too, but, I understand, since I was probably the only Democrat in the room out of 200. So it was pretty weird, but that's what you do. So they could have been unarmed, based on American security policies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where his Blackwater troops were. I haven't seen those pictures.
Yeah. Well, and then we get this comment from the president at the news conference in the Rose Garden earlier this week. Question, are we winning in Afghanistan? I think we're making progress, the reporter interrupted. But do you think we're winning? Do you think we're winning? Well, I do. I think we're making good progress. I do, yes. And, you know, this flies in the face of all available evidence that the Taliban is stronger than ever, that Al-Qaeda is operating with impunity in the border area there between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And we're losing ground. We're not making progress. So
well, Peter,
what Bush says is flatly false.
Well, if we're making progress, what are they talking about, that emergency reinforcement of 3,200 Marines at the same time going to NATO and saying, get more troops down south where we need them? And NATO has basically said, told us to screw off. So if we're, I don't know what, well, I do know what planet he's on, and it's not our planet that the rest of us are on. Talk about the liar in chief. I think he really believes that as president, you're supposed to use the bully pulpit to just out and out lie. You know, it's one thing to talk about a policy that you want to, you know, impose on the United States and to discuss why and to encourage people, but to outright, we're winning in Afghanistan, the Al-Qaeda's on their last legs, we're going to, you know, it's ridiculous and transparent and insulting.
All at the same time, you're right.
It's simultaneous.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, and we'll honor the dock workers who have shut down the ports along the left coast today. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
All Talk. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I saw another letter in the paper today which included the phrase, Obama is all talk. But I also hear people say Hillary is all talk, and even McCain is all talk. And you know what? I'm sick of it. Well, of course you are, Dave, because you're all talk. Okay, that's true. But now, just look at any American city, all right? Look at the office buildings. You know what's inside those buildings? Desks. What do the people sitting at those desks do? Well, they talk. Sometimes they write. Sometimes they type. But what they get paid for is to create and process words. Their only nonverbal activity is putting the leftover words into the recycling box. In fact, the only people in those buildings who don't get paid for their words are the workers who take away the leftover words, or who clean the building in which the words are spoken. So sure, candidates are all talk, because most of us are all talk. Now, if you're a cop, you occasionally chase people and arrest people. Those are actions. But the best cops are the ones who are able to defuse a situation with what? Words. Doctors and nurses do stuff, but the best ones are the ones who comfort their patients by doing what? Talking to them. Now, there is a large group of people in this country who don't deal in words because they can't. Immigrants, legal and illegal. They can't deal in words because they haven't mastered the language. So they do the real work, building, cleaning, cooking, harvesting. And to reward them for being the one group that's not all talk, we're building a wall to keep them out. Now this.
Neglect your plants, your laundry, your dog, cat, fish, your friends, but do not neglect your car. You don't want your vehicle breaking down because you put off an oil change. You want to drive it. Start by changing your own oil. Go to Advance Auto Parts, where Valvoline conventional motor oil is only $7.98 a gallon. That's less than $2 a quart. Buy it. The sale ends May 31st. Oh, and pick up a new filter while you're at it. Look, it's easy. Put on a pair of those neglected pants, crawl under your car, and change some oil. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when
I've come to work. Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. You've got to let me know. And you can join us, too, toll-free at 888-5 Peter B. If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? And here it is, the 1st of May, and there's a lot of protest activity in Los Angeles. Immigrants and those who support their rights are marching. And we also have a stand down, by the longshore workers on all of the ports up and down the West Coast here on May 1st as a protest for the continuing war and occupation in Iraq. Joining us representing the ILWU, the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, is John Showalter. Hello, John.
Hello, Peter. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we wanted to express solidarity with the members of your union who have taken the opportunity to protest the war and are, you know, in some ways putting their jobs on the line and also sending a message to their employers today.
Well, you're in very good company, Peter, and we appreciate that. We've been getting calls all day from average Americans from Florida to New York to Idaho, and everyone's telling us the same thing, that they're very supportive of today's action, and it's about time that somebody stood up and told Washington that it's time to end this war and end the more than $3 trillion in waste that's been going into what we see as a sinkhole in
mm-hmm.
Iraq.
Yeah. And what is the, how does this reflect the membership? Because I only know a couple of members of the ILWU, and one of them is pretty much in favor of the war. I'll bet he's a little steamed over this.
Well, that's a good point you make. The union is very diverse. There's Democrats, Republicans, Independents. I'm sure most of your listeners have all three of those in their own family, as do I. And, you know, if there's one thing we can agree on right now, no matter what your political orientation is, that things are not going well in Iraq. The members of the union, the Longshore Union here on the West Coast, it's a Democratic union, and there was a caucus about back in January in which the members voted to take a work stoppage action on May 1st. And that's what they've been doing today. They're exercising their First Amendment rights to let Washington know that they're tired of this war, and they want to see the men and women in our armed forces come home.
You have 60,000 members of the ILWU, and it's Long Beach, San Francisco, Oakland, Portland, Seattle. Any other major ports with union membership?
Tacoma as well.
Tacoma.
Make sure you include Tacoma on that one.
Okay.
It's a major port up there in Washington.
Yeah. Well, we have listeners in Seattle and Portland, so I'm happy to acknowledge the support for your effort up and down the coast.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, what was the resistance from management? I understand that they asked the union, saying, well, could you do this on the second shift that would have had less of an impact on cargo traffic?
Sure.
And the union declined.
The union actually about over a month ago submitted a request to take this time to have a work stoppage. It's normally once a month the union requests, members at each local request for what's called a stop work meeting. And as you said before, the employer, the Pacific Maritime Association, did decline our request. Normally the work stop meetings are held on the second shift.
Mm-hmm.
But by telling the employer more than a month ago, it should be very clear. I want to make it clear to listeners that the longshore workers who are protesting the war today they're not hurting anyone by not working. By telling the companies about this more than a month ago, the companies had a chance to make plans to avoid problems and to move cargo up to the second and third shift, because our men and women work three shifts a day into the night, into the late night hours, early morning hours. So they were able to plan ahead for this, and if the employer is saying otherwise, it's simply disingenuous.
Mm-hmm. And, John Showalter, let me just ask you one other question here, and that is about the security of our ports. Your members are really on the front lines. They handle these containers that are coming in, most of which have not been inspected before they were shipped, few of which are inspected when they arrive here. And from my friend on the docks in Oakland, what I've heard is that very little of the outbound freight is inspected, and there have actually been some events that have occurred because of things that were shipped out of the United States and containers that were either found to contain contraband or actually blew up later.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. There's a lack of investment that's going on in our transportation infrastructure, in our schools, in our Social Security program. You can see what's happening to our economy now. There's too much of a reliance on petroleum and an imported petroleum, particularly. We think that by pulling out of Iraq, bringing our men and women home, you were able to reinvest much of that money back into the economy in the same way that as you're talking about port security. Some of this money needs to go into improving our security at the ports.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, like you said, the men and women who work on the docks every day, they see these problems, they see where the holes are, but the companies aren't addressing these problems because they want to move the goods as fast as possible, and that doesn't mean doing things slowly. That means doing things quickly. It means often bypassing security issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government, quite honestly, doesn't want to put as much money into this.
Well, and, you know, people got all up in arms about the plan to sell to the Dubai ports, that company there. And, you know, they created a fig leaf that it didn't actually happen. I don't believe it. And, you know, we are very vulnerable in our ports, and yet we don't acknowledge it. We haven't taken the steps to tighten up security. And it's really important to note that the people who are handling this cargo put their lives at risk every day, because it would not be difficult for Al-Qaeda or another enemy to put something in a cargo container and ship it to John Q. Public in Hayward, California, and just see what happens.
That's very true. Although, with your point about Dubai Ports World, all of the companies, we made this clear during that incident, that all of the companies on the waterfront are multinationals. Some of them are Danish, some of mm-hmm. them are Japanese.
Right.
I don't want to get too far off the topic because you know, I'm here today to talk to you and your guests and your listeners about today's actions, because
mm-hmm.
What we're really talking about is the $3 trillion that have gone so far into what's going on in Iraq, which is completely misguided. That Iraq is not the global threat that our government has made it out to be.
Yeah, Scott that Dick, did you want to jump in here?
We've created the whole fiasco in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Scott, did you have a comment?
No, he's exactly right, although the only thing that I worry about, Peter, is that a lot of people see the money we're spending in Iraq as something that's in our budget, and in fact it's not in our budget. These are all loans we're taking from the Chinese government. So
mm-hmm.
when we leave Iraq, suddenly we're not going to be flush with cash. We're still going to be broke. So there's not going to be money pouring into our infrastructure, our schools, or our health system, or anything else, because there's no money to put there.
Yeah. good point. Mildred joins us from Coos Bay. Hello, Mildred. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. and everybody. Well, first of all, I just want to praise the longshoremen for their work stoppage and trying to make a point. But I really have a serious question, and the serious question is, why weren't the other coasts, including, you know, the Great Lakes, why weren't there a universal work stoppage? I'm curious why. That's, you know, and I think it's an important issue.
Yeah. John, what's the response?
First of all, thank you for your support. We do have a local there in Coos Bay.
Good.
And we're hearing from folks like you all over the West Coast and all over the country today. We had somebody here in San Francisco who brought a car full of apple pies and down to that stop work action here, and we're seeing that all over the country. So I wanted to thank you for your support. And with regard to your question, I started to mention at the beginning of the hour today that the calls today that that the members of the union took it upon themselves to take this action. And they did reach out to a number of other unions. We received letters of solidarity from other unions, the Oakland Teachers Association and other unions, various AFSCME locals. The most important solidarity I think we've received so far is from the port workers in Iraq itself. Mm. In several southern ports in Iraq today, reportedly port workers are standing down in solidarity with the International Longshore and Warehouse Union dock workers as well.
And they're probably not represented by a union.
They are represented by a union, actually.
Really?
And
that's
your,
great.
Your listeners might be interested to learn more about that. In our union newspaper, a little over a year and a half ago, we had an investigative journalist named David Bacon do a profile of the Iraqi port workers. And I'm sure you all are most of you all are familiar at this point with the no bid contracts.
Oh yeah, Halliburton just got a new extension.
Halliburton and all that that was going on. Well, the same thing was going on with the marine terminals and the ports in Iraq, with the multinational marine terminal companies that are were belling up to the Bush administration, and those companies came right in with no bid contracts and attempted to kick out these Iraqi port workers and take over the ports on their
no-bid
contract.
I'm really glad to hear that. However, aren't there longshoremen on the East Coast and in the South? Aren't there your union brothers there that could have participated in this action, or are there other unions or other, you know, groups that are dealing with trade coming into the ports there?
I can't speak to the East Coast Union. They're separate and distinct from the West Coast. That's the International Longshoremen's Association.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. All right, Mildred, thank you very much. Good to hear from you in Coos Bay today. And John Showalter, thank you for joining us again. Please extend our support and greetings to your members.
Thank you very much, and thank you again to all of the other Americans who've been calling in to support us. I think working together, we can all eventually convince Washington that the war in Iraq needs to end.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
All right. And Stephen Salinas couldn't stay on the line, Scott, but he called to ask when the next election is going to be held in Iraq. And there are some provincial elections that are scheduled for later this year. And it's one of the reasons there's been jockeying, and the Sunnis say they're coming back into the government. And Muqtada al-Sadr says that he's going to cooperate so that his group can be more political. So that's the answer to that question, Steve. Anything you want to add there, Scott, before we go to a break?
Well, that's the whole reason that Maliki attacked the Sadr militia is because he wanted to weaken them. I believe there's the provincial election coming up in that area in June.
Oh.
Unless it's been put off. That was the whole point about his attacking the Sadr militia.
I'll have to double-check that because I thought most of them were for the fall, but it's possible that Basra is sooner than that. All right, Scott, we'll return in a moment and talk about some bad barracks conditions at Fort Bragg, and the Secretary of Defense says he's appalled by it. That's straight ahead. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. The Peter B. Collins Show is sponsored by Polypoint Press and John Gorenfeld's new book, Bad Moon Rising. It's all about Reverend Moon, Tribune and the Washington Times newspaper. Visit thekingofamerica.com on the web and check out the video. That's thekingofamerica.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm Lisa Lee with a look at KRXA traffic. Earlier crash cleared Prunedale Passante Road at 101. It was an injury crash involving four vehicles. Traffic on Passante is starting to move. Be careful north of Prunedale. Southbound 101 past Dumbarton Road, a tree branch came down on the roadway, a big one. It is partially blocking the right lane, causing folks to slam on their brakes there. Santa Cruz northbound 1 looks a whole lot better. Just brief delays now. Heading for the Fish Hook, northbound on 17, you're looking good through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems reported on 68 or 152. Do you know what happens to cars that are wrecked here in Salinas? Well, about half of the cars that are salvaged get fixed up and resold. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. It's going to be sunny today. Very nice. Currently 51 degrees in Santa Cruz, Salinas 46, Monterey 51. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show on KRXA.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic, one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggie Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise,
582-9149.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, these conditions at Fort Bragg apparently led to a YouTube video, and we now know that Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense, knows about YouTube.
Well, the only reason it was made public is because a dad went to visit his son who had just recently returned from Iraq. And this is a pretty young guy, and so when he went to the barracks that his son had moved into, he was not appalled. He was disgusted and angry in the interview I saw. It brought him to tears.
His name is Ed Frawley is the man's name.
In describing the conditions, his son coming back from a complete tour in Afghanistan, 15 months,
mm-hmm.
82nd Airborne, they spend their lives on alert, part of the Rapid Reaction Organization in the United States. And my question is, why wasn't the base commander fired? Because there's something called the rear detachment, and when a unit deploys, there's always people left over, always. For whatever, there's a million reasons why people are left over, and they leave somebody in charge, somebody who's not in trouble themselves. In other words, they always pick somebody who's pretty good, because they made that mistake during the first Gulf War by picking people who were questionable to run bunch of unit led by, you know, with a bunch of questionable people in it. Mm-hmm. Plus, it takes care of family. So they pick a good person, and I know in the 80s when we had big units coming to, there's some a fielding of troops in mass. They called it the cohort system then. Our troops even made their beds for them. So this tells me that nobody looked at those barracks. The base commander didn't. He's got troops returning home from Afghanistan. There's supposed to be a parade. There's supposed to be a welcome back ceremony. All the commanders come out, and they do this whole dog and pony show with the American flag and the national anthem and welcome them back. They've done this noble cause deed, blah, blah, bullcrap. And then they send them back to this? Peter, you can't convince me that one of those people with one of those adults, a full colonel or one of his lieutenant colonel henchmen or the rear detachment commanders, probably a major, did not go into that barracks. And if they went into that barracks, they said, sure, we'll put our returning veterans from Afghanistan here because they've been in Afghanistan for 15 months, so this must be a step up. That's like Barbara Bush talking about the people from Katrina.
Yeah, who enjoy life at the stadium.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a picture there of a soldier trying to unplug a floor drain, not a toilet drain, a floor drain, and there's human feces and urine on the floor about 4 inches deep, and he's standing in a deep sink so he doesn't have to put his boots in it.
Mm.
And this is disgusting, and they, in the sort of the closure was, they expected these troops to maintain their own barracks. Now, there is something called the self-service help store where you can go get light bulbs and, you know, toilet paper and that kind of stuff. But this is not that kind of maintenance.
Yeah.
And one kid was quoted as saying he's personally repainted this barracks 3 times since he's been in Fort Bragg himself.
Hmm.
So it's disgusting, and I can't believe that. Well, no, I can believe that heads haven't rolled, because this just is another complete demonstration of the brass doesn't care about our veterans. It's blatant and it's clear, and I don't know what else we need to convince people that this is the shameful and disgusting. I don't know what
it's just another fine way the Bush administration supports the troops, Scott.
Exactly. I was trying to not use profanity, so that was hard.
All right.
Yeah.
You got one more on that, because I'm ready to go to neocon revisionism.
No, go ahead.
All right. So history is being rewritten by the people who led us into this incredible occupation of Iraq. And Doug Feith has published a book. He was over there at the Office of Special Plans cooking up the special intelligence that Cheney then leaked to Judy Miller that became the Niger Yellowcake story and the curveball story and the other portable weapons lab stories that surfaced. And now Bill O'Reilly enters the picture, and I think this video will play for me, Scott. He's now declaring that we didn't invade Iraq. And this is an exchange with a guy I know, Warren Ballantyne, who's a progressive radio host on XM.
We're not at war with Iraq.
We didn't invade Iraq.
Did we go through Congress to invade, to go to war? Don't we have to go through the act
there
of Congress?
There was a vote in Congress.
It was a declaration of war.
It was a declaration of war. It was a declaration to enforce the first Gulf War Treaty, which you don't know anything about, Mr. Ballantyne.
That's not true.
So the next thing is for O'Reilly to say was something you don't know anything about, because O'Reilly is the genius. He's the expert. You know, and he tells that lie. We didn't invade Iraq. And what declaration of war? There was no declaration of war from the first Gulf War either.
Right. Yeah. And there was nothing that we did in 2003 that was related to the first Gulf War. These are separate UN resolutions, which, of course, we only honor when it's convenient. And there was no declaration of war. There was the authorization to use military force, the fateful vote in October of 2002. But it was so vague, and it required the president to go back to the United Nations before he invaded Iraq, and he just forgot about that part.
And Peter, everybody's taking bits and pieces of Doug Feith's book, which is this most self-serving, I mean, it's a biography, of course, but it's just drivel. He blames Colin Powell for the failure of the post-war Iraq. It's like somehow it's the Secretary of State's fault.
Well, and that's so phony, because the Defense Department banned the State Department from implementing its own plan for the rebuilding of Iraq.
And then Wolfowitz goes to the Hudson Institute, another right-wing nut think tank, and reads from portions of Doug Feith's book, and in it he says, well, of course we know that the occupation ended in June of 2004.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said that late last week, early this week.
That's when, of course, Bremer handed off to Alawi, our hand-picked interim prime minister. So that's when the occupation ended, huh?
Correct. So, so Peter, look, if I was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as soon as Wolf of Fitz said that, oh, wait, he's disgraced, not only from the Pentagon, but from the World Bank.
Right.
I wouldn't listen to him. But that means we've won and we should bring our troops home because the occupation is over. You know, this is not a war. It's apparently to the neocons, it's not an occupation. Adam, he'll say it again on your show, they just go around and patrol in Iraq with no real purpose because they're not maintaining law and order. That's not their mission. Their mission is to go around and step on IEDs. So far, there's been no articulated strategic mission that has been that I've heard from the Department of Defense, from the Secretary of Defense, or from the President, or from Cheney. Not one of those people has given me an understandable, articulated strategy. And, Peter, I was a brigade planner for 18 months, and I had to take that.
Who needs a mission? We're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them over there. It's the central front of the war on terror, and yeah.
Bob Humbug.
Thank you very much, Scott.
You're welcome, Peter.
We'll talk again next week. That's Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab the podcast and share it with a friend. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's sticker shock on the checkout line as food prices spiral higher. The Joint Economic Committee of Congress looked into this today.
The hearing chaired by Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer looked into what's going on in the grocery stores.
The prices of the staples we all depend on for a healthy diet, eggs, bread, milk, fruits, are rising by eye-popping leaps and bounds.
He says one reason is farmers are diverting cropland to corn to satisfy congressional mandates for more ethanol for fuel.
Don't blame the farmers is the point.
Tom Bias of the National Farmers Union says increased international demand, droughts, the high cost of fuel, and speculators are to blame for the run-up in prices. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
In some poor countries, people face starvation because rising prices have made food unaffordable. Today, President Bush proposed $770 million in additional food aid.
We're sending a clear message to the world that America will lead the fight against hunger for years to come.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. What the president didn't make clear was that the additional food aid he wants Congress to approve would be for the next fiscal year, which begins October 1st. Already pending in Congress is a request of $350 million in additional food aid, which could be spent as soon as it's enacted.
In Los Angeles and other American cities, a new round of demonstrations demanding a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants.
We've been working and we contribute in one way, but they haven't given us the opportunity to contribute in the bigger picture. And that's what people want.
CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes in L.A. says illegals marched in defiance of the government's crackdown.
There is a prevailing factor of fear, and that is because there have been so many immigration raids across the country where ICE has been going into people's homes, into the workplace, taking in illegal immigrants, arresting them, and deporting them.
Dock workers on the West Coast staged a one-day strike to protest the war in Iraq. KNX Radio's Ron Kilgore has that.
Port operators say the terminals had to be shut down, but other workers have been very busy with already unloaded containers. The biggest impact appears to be on independent truckers, who normally pick up their products on the piers, but for the moment, they're out of business, and they say it's really hurting their bottom line.
Big time. We're losing money.
Any idea how much you might be losing?
Could be from $300 to $400 probably today. Very tough.
They're hoping to get at least one run in as the ports plan to reopen tonight when the new work shifts begin. Ron Kilgore, CBS News, the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles.
Baseball legend Buzzy Bavasi has died at 93. He built the Dodgers teams in Brooklyn and later Los Angeles that won four World Series titles. Bavasi's stable of players included Jackie Robinson, Duke Snyder, Sandy Koufax, and Don Drysdale. The Dow up 189 points. This is CBS News.
Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and enter to win a Napa-branded iPod Nano. The amazingly lightweight and compact 4-gig Nano holds up to 2,000 songs, 4 to 8 hours of video, and up to 7,000 photos, which will look great on its backlit 4-color LCD display. One iPod Nano will be given away at each participating Napa Auto Parts store. Napa, get the good stuff. Get the
good stuff!
Good news, guys. We like the work you're doing, and we've decided to give you a bonus. Just hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for the men's bonus sale. Right now, you'll find great deals like 40 to 50% off men's sports shirts and shorts, 50% off men's suits and sport coats. Plus, we've got all your favorite brands like Dockers, Levi's, Van Heusen, and Stafford. It's time to collect your bonus. The men's store inside JCPenney is the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
April auto sales reflect the country's struggle with high gasoline prices. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports.
Car buyers were seeking better fuel economy and lower sticker prices as the high cost of gasoline impacted sales on several fronts. GM analyst Mike DiGiovanni says the pace is much faster than they expected.
We've raised our internal oil price forecast twice, and it's still the most recent increases have exceeded that.
Analysts say even if gas prices ebb somewhat, they don't see a change in the trend towards smaller vehicles. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The price of crude oil fell again today, down nearly a dollar to $112.52 a barrel. Just as driving slower improves gas mileage, airlines have found they can save fuel by flying slower. Many carriers are extending their flights by a few minutes each to produce big savings. Southwest says it expects to save $42 million in fuel costs this year. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The embarrassing part about heartburn is when I'm on a date. I have to get rice or broth. And the guy's like, why don't you order real food?
Heartburn isn't funny. That's why new maximum strength Zantac 150 Cool Mint tablets are serious. It's the same Zantac strength, now with a refreshing hint of cool mint that goes down easy with water. So the suffering stops and life starts. Heartburn? Attack it. Zantac. Use as directed.
It's time to put your tax rebate to work. Think about this. You can turn a short-term rebate into some long-term savings by making your home more energy efficient. With Energy Star qualified appliances from the Home Depot, you could save nearly $80 a year in energy costs. That's like getting a tax rebate every year. We offer thousands of Eco Options products that make it easy to save money, energy, and water throughout your house. So when you get your tax rebate, put it to work at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3.
Those who start wars never fight them. And those who fight wars, I never like them. And those who write laws, tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, heading into the free speech zone, taking your calls and comments at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And joining me now is Sergeant Adam Kokesh, who served in the United States Marine Corps, served in Iraq, and is now serving here in the United States on a slightly different mission. Sergeant, I'm Peter B. Welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And I
got to say, though, some veterans don't appreciate being being referred to as their rank anymore. And I like to joke that, as we do in the Marines, when you get out, you get promoted to PFC, which normally means private first class, but in this case means proud effing.
Well, I'll just call you Adam if you don't mind.
That works.
I don't have any rank, and so I don't deserve any kind
of... You can be a PFC, too, in this case.
Okay. I'll accept that from you. Adam, first of all, tell us a little bit about the tour or tours that you served. I'm looking at your blog here, and there's a picture of you in Fallujah with flowers in your vest. Tell us about your service in Iraq.
Well, I mean, if I may step back a little bit first, I joined the Marine Corps Reserves because I was going to college. And I wanted to serve, and I was one of the few people before 9/11 who actually wrote down on the form at the military entrance processing station that one of the reasons I was joining the Marines was out of patriotism. But it was for that and the challenge. And so I went to school, and I was going to school in Claremont, California,
mm-hmm.
and was against the war before the war. I believed in Colin Powell's lies. I believed the general storyline that this country was fed. But, you know, I believe in a foreign policy of non-intervention, and I didn't think that it was going to be worth it for the country to get involved in this conflict the way that we were going about it. And I went to the one day of student lockouts and found myself surrounded by people whose ignorance was only surpassed by their lack of hygiene, or hippies, as they're known in the parlance of the day.
Uh-huh.
I don't have anything against hippies, but we held hands and made a human peace sign that day, and there were people who actually expected that would stop the war from happening, and of course it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the war, I fell for it again, you could say, and I thought that what we were doing in Iraq was cleaning up our mess and really responsible foreign policy, and that was something that I wanted to be a part of. You know, that was part of the reason why I joined the Marines, for all those noble ideals that we have as aspirations for how our military can function in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped out of school and, volunteered and went really out of my way to volunteer. And I was fortunate enough to deploy in civil affairs. And in civil affairs, I found out in my two-week crash course between getting activated and deploying that what we were going to do was we were going to be working with schools and mosques and clinics and water projects and, all that good stuff about rebuilding Iraq that sounded exactly like what the president was saying on television. And, I was really excited. It was something I enthusiastically risked my life for. But while I was there, I realized the futility of what we were doing in a larger scope of the occupation. That is, as much good as we were able to do locally in a country that desperately more than anything needs rule of law, they'll never get it with our military imposing martial law. And, as a country, we have to come to admit that that's really what we're doing there. So I was in Fallujah from 3rd September 2004 and was there for the siege of Fallujah, the first battle,
mm-hmm.
in April, and came home in September and went to class the day I got off the bus, and that was a big mistake. But the flowers and the deuce gear, that's from during the siege of Fallujah, actually. We were distributing humanitarian rations to a village that, of course, by the siege, namely by our action,
mm-hmm.
Had been cut off from their food supply. And so we were distributing humanitarian rations to these families. And some of the children came and gave me flowers. And the started putting my deuce gear in.
Let me ask you a specific question about the siege of Fallujah in 2004,
mm-hmm.
because I was watching it on television over here, Adam, and I recall very vividly Aaron Brown at the time was the anchor on CNN, and he broadcast a report that the U.S. was using airstrikes over Fallujah. And this report came in real-time coverage from Al Jazeera. And then they went to a U.S. Army spokesperson or coalition spokesperson, who I think was in Qatar, who flatly denied that airstrikes were occurring over Fallujah at that time. And so here we had the live picture from Al Jazeera, and no other air forces were known to be operating in that area at the time. And the guy on CNN, Aaron Brown, accepted this flat-out lie from the Pentagon spokesman. Oh, no, we're not bombing Fallujah right now. And the pictures were there for everyone to see. So did you witness any aerial strikes of Fallujah at that time in 2004?
I don't think that's even in question anymore. It's nice to know that you're not crazy. And I can give you that reassurance. Absolutely. We were putting Spectre C-130 gunship rounds into the city almost every night. And we used to really welcome the sound of the gunships because and these are C-130s that are outfitted with little artillery pieces in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear them whirring, and circling around the city at night, and things would get kind of quiet when they were overhead, when they were patrolling on those missions. And we had helicopter support, it's funny that there was no way it could have been hidden. Mm-hmm. I actually have a video of it. Of a helicopter firing a few rounds that I caught on video with my little digital camera during the siege of Fallujah up on mm-hmm. YouTube right now.
Wow.
But, you're not crazy. I also have classified footage that people pass around the military now. It's one of the wonders of thumb drive technology.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody can share all their gory pictures and things like that. And there's a video of a C-130 Spectre gunship through its night sights, its video black and white thermal sights dropping around on a crowd of people that was just walking through the city.
Yeah.
But it was after curfew, so we had a bomb.
Now, this question next, I believe, applies more to the second siege of Fallujah. I don't recall mm-hmm. that white phosphorus was used in the first time around, but I just want to clarify. Did you see any use of white phosphorus, either as an illuminating device or in the shake-and-bake style, where it was used in weapon form?
No, we most of our indirect fire that way was from mortars. I don't think we called in much artillery at all, and I don't think we used any white phosphorus in the
okay.
first battle. There mm-hmm. have been different rumors about that, and I know that it's been used at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the great things about Iraq Veterans Against the War now, we have members, we have over 1,000 members, and we have someone who's been at every single battle and every place in the entire country of Iraq, from like the beginning to the end of the war to right now,
mm-hmm.
and we have active duty guys who are members of Iraq Veterans Against the War that are in Iraq right now. And if you go to IVW.org on our homepage, you can see videos that Casey Porter is doing over there and sending back.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adam Kokesh, you're on tour, and give us an explanation of what kind of a presentation you make. I'm looking at your website, Revolutionary Patriot, but you, for example, will be in Santa Cruz on Saturday, the 5th of May, at the Cesar Chavez.
Monday the 5th.
I'm sorry?
Monday the 5th.
Oh, you're correct. I'm trying to read your military calendar, and I'm not so good at it. 08-05-05. So
it makes sense because they all line up numerically that way when you put them in order.
Oh, I understand. It just I don't relate to it that easily. So anyway, you'll be in Santa Cruz on the 5th of May. That's at the Cesar Chavez Alternative High School, and then at the Truth in Recruiting Group at RCNV, which is about a mile from the school there. Tell us what you plan to impart to the students and to those at this other center.
Well, it's just one of the things that being a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War has blessed me with is opportunities, being able to share my experiences in such a way that people can learn from them and take something from them. And, when I'm asked to speak for a group, I always just communicate something that, you know, that I always communicate from my heart, and I'm able to speak to something that's, you know, relevant to them, you know. And I've spoken at a rally in D.C. in front of 100,000 people, you know, to demonstrate a counterpoint to the Petraeus hearings last September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I've spoken to with congressmen and senators, and I'm going to be testifying on Capitol Hill twice the week after next, once with the whistleblowers and then once with Winter Soldier on the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go and talk to a group of high school students. Some of them are great, and I love talking to high school students really more than any other audience, more than, you know, being on television, because, you know, I get a certain hope when I'm able to engage with a group of high school students, and they're engaged and they're intellectually engaged. I mean, that's what gives me hope, you know, mm-hmm. that the next generation of Americans is not going to be as apathetic as mine, is not going to be as apathetic as the one that came before us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I might speak in front of a group of six students in a classroom, and if two of them start chatting in the back, I'll get all nervous and flustered and think, oh man, you know, they went a third of my audience.
Yeah.
But you know, that's really what I go for, and I think it's something that I've been able to achieve.
Adam, stay with us. We're going to take a break and return. I've got a caller, one of our most senior listeners, wants to talk with you. And if you'd like to talk with Adam Kokesh, grab a line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
My name is Donna Shore, and my husband, Todd Hornick, is running in the June 3rd election for Superior Court Judge. Todd is a loving and caring husband and father of our two boys, Tarak and Nilan. Todd Hornick is a dedicated prosecutor with a sincere passion for the law and justice. He has used his legal career to advocate on behalf of victims of crimes and to secure necessary punishments for those who violate the law and threaten our safety. Todd's energy and enthusiasm for the courtroom is matched by his knowledge of the law. As an educator for the California Department of Parks and Recreation and the California District Attorneys Association, Todd teaches law to law enforcement cadets and experienced attorneys from around the state. My husband, Todd Hornick, has the comprehensive support of the law enforcement community, and he is the best choice for judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
I'm Lisa Lee with a look at KRXA traffic. Earlier crash cleared Prunedale Passante Road at 101. It was an injury crash involving four vehicles. Traffic on Passante is starting to move. Be careful north of Prunedale. Southbound 101 past Dumbarton Road, a tree branch came down on the roadway, a big one. It is partially blocking the right lane, causing folks to slam on their brakes there. Santa Cruz northbound 1 looks a whole lot better. Just brief delays now. Heading for the Fish Hook, northbound on 17, you're looking good through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems reported on 68 or 152. Do you know what happens to cars that are wrecked here in Salinas? Well, about half of the cars that are salvaged get fixed up and resold. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. It's going to be sunny today. Very nice. Currently 51 degrees in Santa Cruz, Salinas 46, Monterey 51. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. My guest is Adam Kokesh. He served in the Marine Corps in Iraq, and he has come home to serve his nation in a different way. As a member of Iraq Veterans Against the War, he is touring the West Coast right now, and as we mentioned, he'll be in Santa Cruz on the 5th of May, at the College of Marin on the 6th of May, and several events in San Francisco on the 7th of May. Is this the best place, the blogspot, the kokesh.blogspot.com? Is that the best place to send people?
That's my website, and if you click on Adam Kokesh on tour, the whole calendar's there. And I apologize that it's all in military dates and times, but it's not too hard to figure it out.
Yeah, it translates after a while.
Right. Well, on the 7th, it's also very orderly the way it goes through the dates. But on the 7th, I'll be in the 6th and the 7th, I'll be in San Francisco with a good friend of mine, David Rubinson, who set up some great events there with the local VSP.
Oh, yeah. David is a great music producer, and he lives up the street from us here. And he was participating in the stop-loss effort, and I understand you're still delivering stop-loss orders to elected officials.
Until they all come home, until we have a military that respects the rights of its service members.
Yeah.
Until they become, meaningful to our government as well as they are to our society.
Adam, you're a very lucky guy. Alice is a longtime caller to the program, but she's very selective, and she decided to check in today. Alice and Eureka, welcome.
Oh, yes. Peter?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, bless your heart. I had not been calling you for a while because I sometimes find myself getting confused about things. But yesterday, you were telling about my main subject, and I had to call in.
Well, I'm glad you did, and you nailed it in your typical style.
Well, we're still trying to get things straightened out. I don't know.
Well, we certainly are. When it comes to the issues of 9/11, we have to keep fighting for the truth, and I, for one, will continue to do that. Alice, what would you like to say to Adam Kokesh?
Well, I really called to talk to you.
Okay. Well, then, why don't you hang on, because after the break, I've got open phones, the free speech zone, and you and I can chat, but I want to follow up here with Adam on a couple of other things, okay?
Go ahead.
All right.
I don't want to interrupt any of your game.
Oh, don't you worry about it. You hold on, and we'll get back to you in just a few minutes. That's Alice. Call us back, Alice. I accidentally hit the wrong button and hung up on you. Anyway, Alice is 94 years young. And a real committed progressive and a real supporter of the program. Adam, I wanted to ask you next what you were told your mission was when you were serving in Iraq, because I remain confused about what our troops are there to do and how the hell you referee a civil war between Sunni Shiite and Shiite on Shiite and all the other factors that you have to deal with in a foreign land where you don't speak the language.
It's funny. It seems like everybody has a different role that's a support role for somebody else. And so all we're doing over there is, supporting each other in a circle and not making any progress. But, my role in civil affairs was just to support the rest of the military in terms of being the interface with the civilian population. But for me, what I thought, because we were, quote, rebuilding, that civil affairs would really be the tip of the spear, that we we would be the ones that would be supported by the rest of the military. And as it was, really the opposite was true. We were six-man teams attached to regiments or battalions. And we couldn't, we had to beg these infantry commanders to get out on their convoys to do our missions, because we couldn't go anywhere without, you know, a convoy of six Humvees and machine guns in the Fallujah area, just at that time at least.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is still the case today. So we came up with a slogan because we found ourselves constantly struggling to justify our existence to these guys, and it was, we care so that you don't have to.
Hmm.
It just gives you an idea of how screwed up our priorities are.
Yeah, yeah. I've got about a minute remaining. What would you like to impart to our listeners, either about Winter Soldier or about your own experience in Iraq, that you really want people to know, Adam?
If I could boil it down to one thing right now, it's just that you got to get active. You got to realize that your silence is your complicity and your inaction is your hypocrisy. And if you're not out there doing something, you're wrong, flat out. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can directly withdraw material support for the war. And, you know, that's what we're all about in Iraq, Veterans Against the War. That's all how our strategy ties in with supporting GI resistance. And, you know, that's our message, and that's what I'm going to be talking about when I'm in San Francisco next week.
All right. Adam, a real pleasure to meet you. Thanks for continuing the service since you came home.
And thanks to the longshoremen for walking out today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very proud of them.
Shutting down the West Coast. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Adam. We'll talk again. Adam Kokesh here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's free speech for the rest of the hour. Call me. Let me know what's on your mind. Do you want a gas tax holiday? Do you want to get us out of Iraq? That's not a tough choice for me. 888-5 Peter B. Lines are open.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction. Security and health protection. With global warming creeping up on us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you. It's the free speech zone for the rest of the hour. And we've talked about a lot today. Adam Kokesh described his service in Iraq. And clearly, our troops on the ground, the boots on the ground, don't know what the mission is. I think their main mission is try to avoid getting killed. And that is hardly a military mission or strategy. We also talked about the longshoremen shutting down the ports on the West Coast. A protest against the Iraq war here as we observe the sordid anniversary. 5 years since Bush declared mission accomplished. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B. If you want to talk about Obama's pastor and what to do about it, that's fine with me. You want to talk about Hillary's plan to mimic John McCain with the summer federal gas tax holiday, reduce your price of the pump by 18.5 cents a gallon? It's all up for grabs at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And that's the best way for our weekend listeners in Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, and elsewhere to get a hold of us, peter@peterbcollins.com. Also, if you've got a fancy cell phone like a BlackBerry, an iPhone, or one of those zippy multimedia phones, you can now catch portions of the Peter B. Collins Show. We post them every week at phoneshow.com. It's spelled F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. And when you get to the homepage, click on radio shows and then look for Peter B. Collins, and you'll see an array of excerpts from the program. And feel free to share those with friends who may not be able to get us on a radio station, but would like to listen on their fancy telephone. That's the way it works. We'll get to your calls here momentarily, but every week we like to check in with R.J. Schulman over there at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. They're on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. R.J., how are you today?
Dear V, how are you doing?
I'm holding up okay, thank you. I went out and saw Robin Williams last night, and I have to tell you that my cheek muscles are still a little bit wore out. That guy,
that can happen.
That guy is so funny and just riffs and riffs and riffs. It was really a good time. But you've got a lot of serious reportage up at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch today. You've got an exclusive report on the suicide, the alleged suicide of the D.C. madam, and I'll let people access that for themselves. The one story I didn't notice is Barbara Walters' admission that she had an affair with an African-American senator. You got a team working on that one, R.J.?
Yeah, we do have a team working on it, and we're going to have a report from Jeremiah Wright shortly, who's going to discuss that matter.
Okay, I can't wait for that. Now, one of your big stories here is that once again, the U.S. has killed Al-Qaeda's number two leader. This is the 15th, 16th, 17th time now?
Well, actually, this particular number two, because there's a lot of number twos.
Yeah.
But this particular number two was the ninth time.
Oh, just the ninth.
Right. This is Aidan Hashi Airo, who is actually from Somalia.
Uh-huh.
And he was killed for the ninth time when a bomb exploded and destroyed his house for the fifth time.
I see. Well, who's in charge of the fuzzy math over there at the Pentagon to keep track of all this?
I think the same folks who are keeping track of the fact that the economy is doing well and that the money that we're going to get back from the IRS is going to fix the economy. I think it's the same folks who are doing that.
I see. And again, you have juicy, unscrubbed quotes. Here's from President Bush. Killing him again in Somalia provocates that my surge in Iraq is working. And then Vice President Dick Cheney, it feels so good to kill again and again. And then...
Go ahead.
And then Dana Perino, the beautiful White House press secretary. This operation is important because would you rather kill him again and again over there or again and again over here? That's a powerful question.
I think so, and it has worked in the past for them, and so they keep using that quote again and again.
Yeah. Now, what about Senator McCain? Did he weigh in on this?
Yeah, he said that if necessary, he would kill him again for 100 years.
I see. All right. Next up, the headline reads, Invading Iran, Two Wrongs Make a Right Wing. And this is based on a study from the RAND Corporation?
Yeah, that's correct. They were very puzzled as to why mistakes are made again and again. And they found out that there's certain thinking among mostly the neocons that actually two wrongs make a right. So if you've made a blunder once, the way to make it right is to do it again.
Oh, wow. The power of that logic has just finally come clear to me, RJ. You've clarified this in a way. We've been talking on and on about the threats from the Bush administration of an assault on Iran, and I never thought of it as doubling down behind Iraq.
No, that's exactly right. You invade one country that's no threat to us, and that turns out to be a disaster. Then you have to invade another one just to make it right.
Yeah. Wow, you really put things in perspective. One more story that I want to touch on here, and this is an exclusive related to Jeremiah Wright, that's Obama's preacher, and you report that Attorney General Michael Mukasey has a new plan to deal with this.
Yeah, he's very upset by folks like Jeremiah Wright who profess to be Christian or American and really aren't. And so looking back at history, the way to ferret out and get rid of people who are not true believers was done best by the Spanish with the Spanish Inquisition. So he's announced the beginning of an American Inquisition.
Wow. And does this relate in any way to the way they've been monitoring Americans? I mean, will that make it easier for them to figure out, who's with us and who's against us?
Well, sure. What they do is they make a list from all the spying and listening in, and those Americans that they think are really not true Americans will be brought before the panel, and asked to confess.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely at first, because if you confess and tell of all of your heresies, then your punishment is a lot lighter than if they have to use those persuasive methods that our past two attorney generals have thought were okay to use.
Mm-hmm. And you report that the Attorney General has designated Vice President Cheney to head up the committee to oversee the new American Inquisition.
Yeah, that's right. Who better to do that than Cheney himself?
And you have a quote from the Vice President about Barack Obama's ridiculous claim he's a Christian and not a Muslim. He says that's in its final throes, eh?
I think so. I think after they discuss Obama's, whether he's faithful or a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to be one of the first to be asked that question.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. It's exclusive to the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. Read it on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. R.J. Shulman, as always, thank you very much.
You have a great week, Peter B.
I'll do my best. Thank you, R.J. Now to your calls in the Free Speech Zone. There are a couple of lines open if you want to chime in at 888-5 Peter B. Here's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, well, Barbara Walters used to screw around with Henry Kissinger, so we already know that the warmongers that speak pidgin English really turn her on. So.
Now, wait a minute, because her admission was about Senator Brooke, William Brooke of Massachusetts.
Never even heard of him.
Now, he was the first African-American elected to the United States Senate.
Oh, well.
So Barbara Walters has now confessed that she had a sexual relationship with an African-American, which makes it much more exciting. But I haven't heard any admission about Dr. Kissinger. Are you making that up, or did she confess this to Oprah, too?
I thought that was general knowledge.
Yeah?
That they used to screw around, and it's been referred to and
you mean
on
when he
TV and movies and stuff, yeah.
When he said peace is at hand, he was referring to Baba Wawa?
Yeah, he might have been, yes. But, you can look it up on the Internet.
All right, I'll look for that. I have not actually followed the sexploits of Barbara Walters.
Well, I'd rather not myself either.
Yeah.
I thought it was general knowledge, really. So.
TMI, too much information.
Yes, 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 yes. But, yes, I want to talk about this initiative to make all our elections in Oregon nonpartisan. And, my God, I can't wait until it happens to get rid of the Republicans and to get rid of the Democrats. In fact, the state legislature have made it to where you vote in the primary election, and I was stupid enough to go ahead and request a Democrat ballot at the last minute, that you can't sign a petition for any independent candidate or anything like that for the general election or anything.
Now explain this to me, Joe, because this is the first time I've heard about it. Is it a ballot measure that would make all elections
nonpartisan?
Okay.
And the explain it in more depth.
Yeah, please.
Yes, and the you just all the candidates would be put on the ballot, and there wouldn't be any party identification next to their name or anything.
Uh-huh.
And the top two would go on to the general election. That is, if nobody got 50% plus one, and you already got a lot of elections that are decided that way. Or judge or sheriff, or,
mm-hmm.
Races like that.
Joe, in California, mm-hmm. Everything below the state assembly mm-hmm. is treated as nonpartisan. So your county supervisors and city council members mm-hmm. may be a member of a party, but when they run, there's no designation on the ballot, and they don't run as a political party member.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. All the races would be this way in Oregon. And let me describe how ridiculous the two parties are. Now, my congressman, Peter DeFazio, mm-hmm. On the Republican side in the primary against him, no Republican candidate filed to run against him.
Okay.
But they're still going to have a primary on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just have any idiot or nutball actually win the Republican primary as a write-in candidate, and if they accepted the nomination, they would be on the ballot in November as the Republican nominee. In the meantime, independent candidates and third-party candidates, they have to go through all these hoops and,
right.
and through the whole three-ring circus to get on the ballot in the first place.
Now, Joe, what is this this nonpartisan election measure? Is it, does it have a number? Is it an initiative number?
No, I have no idea. I just heard about it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Norma Paulus is involved with it,
yeah.
And Phil Kiesling, who I believe is our former Secretary of State, he's another kind of a big shot. So
mm-hmm.
those are the type of people that are involved with it.
Let me ask you to do this. If you could email me some info, we'll invite the promoters of this initiative onto the program, and they can describe it, and you can call in and support it.
Okay, I think you could get involved with the, you could get in touch with the Committee Unified for an Independent Party. I believe that's Lenore Filani's group.
Oh, okay.
And they could probably tell you all about it.
All right, Joe. We'll check it out. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. Appreciate that. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I'm Lisa Lee with a look at KRXA traffic. Earlier crash cleared Prunedale Passante Road at 101. It was an injury crash involving four vehicles. Traffic on Passante is starting to move. Be careful north of Prunedale. Southbound 101 past Dumbarton Road, a tree branch came down on the roadway, a big one. It is partially blocking the right lane, causing folks to slam on their brakes there. Santa Cruz northbound 1 looks a whole lot better. Just brief delays now. Heading for the Fish Hook, northbound on 17, you're looking good through the Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems reported on 68 or 152. Do you know what happens to cars that are wrecked here in Salinas? Well, about half of the cars that are salvaged get fixed up and resold. Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. It's going to be sunny today. Very nice. Currently 51 degrees in Santa Cruz, Salinas 46, Monterey 51. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
In the Monterey County Courts, there are 8 criminal cases for every 1 civil case. That means we need a judge who's an expert in criminal trials. Mark Hood is the only candidate who has 19 years' experience as a criminal prosecutor. He has an unmatched record for integrity, fairness, and knowledge. Mark Hood is endorsed by law enforcement, including the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, sponsored by Polly Point Press and John Gorenfeld's new book about Reverend Moon and the Washington Times propaganda sheet. It's called Bad Moon Rising. Get on the web and visit thekingofamerica.com, a stunning video with Reverend Moon and his friends from the Bush crime family. That's thekingofamerica.com. We're taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B, and Alice is back from Eureka. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Peter.
Howdy. What's on your mind today?
Well, that's an example of my confusion. I thought you would be into open calls by the time you got to my call.
Oh, okay. Well, no harm, no foul, Alice. I'm always glad to hear from you.
Well, I remember, again, how very easy you always made it for me.
Well, and when you came out to our live event at the Eureka Theater last November, I was just so delighted to see you there, Alice. It really made my day.
Well, you made my day, too. It's so nice to hear from you.
Well. Well, good. Well, Alice, I want you to take care of yourself. Any other message you want to impart to our listeners today?
I'll have to get back to calling you.
All right. Well, you're always welcome to call, and I'm always happy to hear from you. Thank you, ma'am.
And I do love you and your show.
Okay,
Andy.
Alice. Thank you, ma'am. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, Carol's in Eureka. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
I hope you don't mind my flirtation with an older woman.
I think that's adorable. Well, I have yet another comment on the Reverend Wright situation. You know, our Constitution clearly states there shall be no religious test for public office. But in the current situation, you have to be a Christian to run for president, and you have to be the right kind of Christian. And just imagine that somebody must have spent countless hours listening to every speech Reverend Wright ever made since 2001, because the sound bites are coming from a sermon he gave after 9/11.
Right, that's
and
Sean.
So somebody actually sat and listened to hours, countless hours.
Yes,
to find something he said that was offensive.
Carol,
now
his name is Sean Hannity.
Okay, and can you imagine how clean Barack Obama must be if the worst thing they can find out about him is that his preacher occasionally says things that are true but offensive?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, the worst they could get on the guy?
Carol, you make a very important point, because the reason for all this distraction is that there is a multi-pronged effort, not a vast right-wing conspiracy, but an effort on the part of Republicans and the Clinton Democrats to bring Obama down. Because the only way that Hillary can get the nomination from second place is for Obama to implode. And she is trying every way, and, you know, it's a political game, it's understandable. But she's using methods, some of which I consider to be underhanded and undemocratic with a capital D, because when she starts using the talking points of the right, when she talks recklessly about attacking Iran, and then she embraces John McCain's gas tax holiday and offers the phony notion that we can pay for it with a windfall profit tax on the oil companies, I'm all in favor of that windfall profit tax, but Hillary, show me you can get it through the United States Senate this year, and I'll believe that you're not pandering. Up until then, I'm sorry, I can't give you the benefit of that doubt.
Well, you know, I'm really worried about Obama. I'm afraid if he gets elected, he's not going to survive, because I don't think we can have a man this good running the country. He won't go along with the program.
All right, Carol, thanks for your call. New York Times poll today has some interesting numbers here. And these polls were taken over the last few days up through April 29th, so it would reflect some of Obama's separating himself from Reverend Wright. But 68% of the people polled think that the Democratic nominee will not be determined until the convention. Has the campaign focused too much on personal attributes? 63% say yes. Does the current system of nominating presidential candidates produce the best candidates? 55% say no. Who has the best chance of beating McCain? According to this poll, Obama 48%, Clinton 37%. What is your opinion of the candidate? 56% are favorable on Clinton, 57% favorable on Obama. Hillary's negatives are 6 points higher than Obama's. So that's an interesting snapshot at the moment of the standing of the Democrats in the campaign. Jake and Eureka, always welcome. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Okay.
Yeah, I would just like to remind the listeners that, you know, even though over the past 6 weeks, the media has just been lambasting Barack Obama on this Reverend Wright controversy, not a single Obama delegate has gone over to Hillary Clinton's side, but Hillary Clinton delegates have come over to Obama's side.
Let me jump in for a second, Jake, because there's a critical one announced today, and it's a man I interviewed in Washington at the Take Back America conference, 6 weeks ago. His name is Joe Andrew. And he is a longtime Bill and Hillary Clinton supporter. He's a conservative Democrat from Indiana. And there's another guy, a congressman named Barron Hill, who is out there, you know, with Mary Landrieu and others who are in the Lieberman wing of the Democratic Party. And Barron Hill came out in favor of Obama yesterday. So this is it is very interesting. Your point is correct that Hillary is losing superdelegates who she was counting on to support her, and Obama is gaining them usually on a 3-2 or 3-1 margin.
Well, that's right. And people look at the numbers, and actually Hillary Clinton's favorability ratings have been hurt more over the past couple of months than Barack Obama's, in large part due to the general public not believing that she's an honest politician. And after her sniper fire story, you know, who does believe anything she has to say? I just like to throw out another number I saw. Apparently, Reverend Wright's approval ratings are higher than George W. Bush's. So I think John McCain is going to be hurt more by George Bush than Barack Obama is going to be hurt by Reverend Wright.
Interesting point. Thank you. Drew in Monterey, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Peter.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but you're welcome.
Okay. I'm just wondering, are you honestly not concerned whatsoever that Barack Obama reveres a person like Reverend Wright? It doesn't ruffle your feathers. It just doesn't concern you whatsoever.
No, it really doesn't. I think it is immaterial to the campaign, immaterial to how Barack Obama would govern as president.
You don't think it's indicative of maybe some of his personality and who he actually really is? I mean, you bring up Reverend Moon and his ties to Bush. Why do you bring that up?
It's a commercial advertisement, Drew.
But I don't understand. What is the correlation between Moon and Bush?
Well, go to the web, look at thekingofamerica.com, and you'll see that George H.W. Bush has been supporting Reverend Moon since the 1970s. And he's accepted money from him. He's gone on speaking tours. He's vouched for him on many different occasions. But
if that concerns you, why would it not concern you the relation between Obama and Moon?
There is no relation between Obama and Moon, but you're talking about...
I'm sorry, between Obama and Wright.
Because I don't see... Obama has never taken any money from Reverend Wright, and he's clearly not vouching for him today. There's a world of difference there. Thank you, Drew. And thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Gotta go.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at the...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Leading a congressional hearing on food prices, New York Senator Chuck Schumer vented America's frustration today.
From aisle to aisle, shelf to shelf, including everything from staples to special treats, the prices families are paying to fill up their shopping carts go up and up and up.
The panel heard from experts who blame everything from ethanol production, which requires large amounts of corn, to speculators trying to make a killing in the commodities market. But it's the consumer who's really getting killed, and as CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reports, Americans are learning to adapt.
In San Antonio, what was Ross Powell's garage is now part pantry, part freezer.
So as before, they would have said, he's a loon. You know, now they're saying, no, instead of the crazy uncle, I'm the smart uncle now.
Rich Stump spent a small fortune, but saved a bundle.
You spent $357 for food.
Right.
And you're actually happy.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing.
More people see another savings to buying in bulk. They make fewer car trips for groceries, so they spend less money at the pump.
In poor countries, high food prices could lead to hunger and civil unrest.
President Bush today called on Congress to approve $770 million in additional food aid. In Oakland, California, and in other American cities, illegal immigrants and their supporters took to the streets, demanding a path to citizenship. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes has the story in Los Angeles.
Diego Hanakua wouldn't be intimidated into staying home. The college student marched with his friends, some illegal, toward downtown Los Angeles. Diego's not yet a citizen. Still, he was behind a campus voter registration drive.
It all comes down to it is the educated voters that are going to make the decisions in our country.
For 2 years, they've been marching toward this election. But now there isn't one candidate talking immigration reform. All three presidential candidates supported the same immigration reform plan that died in Congress, and all three support a border fence.
Today's demonstrations were smaller than in previous years. In northern Maine, the swollen St. John River is roaring through Fort Kent, putting homes